This week, Facebook's outage made its managed games and apps, including Oculus, unplayable. Sony is ending the PS3 and Vita's digital marketplace again. And the Accessible Games Database received wide coverage, hopefully cementing its place as a de facto guide. Why is that last one included? Because its need to exist is depressing to consider, but so beneficial that it does. These are just a few of the galvanizing stories of the week. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to talk about them and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 887 of our show for tonight, October the 10th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here with you every week, along with my co-hosts. Say hello over there to Jamie Summers, Dark Sakura. How are you?
I'm wrapping up a pink drink.
A pink drink. Oh, yum, yum. Those are I thought that was supposed
this
to be.
This is what's left of it.
I thought those were supposed to be like a limited time thing, and then it ended up sticking around for a long time. So, and
pretty
I know
much,
they're very popular. Yeah.
It was actually an off menu item.
Uh huh. Oh.
Like a secret menu item.
Got it.
And it's been incorporated into the new reality of Starbucks.
Well, I have coffee, but it's just boring old. I use my little machine to make the coffee, but
I have backup soda.
It's an important part of getting through tonight's show. Also with Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What is playing behind you tonight?
Carnival.
Carnival. Okay, that was. I'm like, wait a minute. He switched. It was like Donkey Kong beforehand or something. I'm like, he switched it.
That's because that was last week. I have to. You know,
oh, okay. Oh, yes. A little variety is good. Yes, it is. Hey, if the topic of food here on this program, which sometimes I would say we get criticized for talking about food too much on this program, but that actually doesn't happen. That's just me trying to keep things on topic sometimes, I think. But for those of you guys that are excited about a food talk, I have some good news. We do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, live at Twitch TV, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork if you want to join along. We are usually after the Bobby Blackwolf show, but he is on hiatus for a little bit. Bobby is doing fine. I've talked to Bobby. Bobby's just not ready to be podcasting again. So stay tuned to our Discord for all the details on when the Bobby Blackwolf show will return at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, right before our show. Again, our Discord is over at Twitch.tv. How about twitch.tv/VOGNetwork and then VOGNetwork.com/Discord. I do believe Bobby is out there in listener land tonight, though. So hi, Bobby, and I hope you're feeling well. And on the topic of food, last week I teased maybe we need to do a bonus stream that's just nothing. Maybe we need to make Orange Lounge Foodio a reality. So I have good news, everybody. We're going to enable a channel point reward tonight. And if we can get 100,000 points, which we'll get those points because we did like 150 for the last one and we got it. So, but if you're willing to spend some points, we're going to open. Yes, Bobby just hit the button. There we go. A special Orange Lounge Foodio presentation here at VOG Network where we will talk about nothing but food. So Dark Sakura can talk about all the pink drinks or other Starbucks drinks she wants. Loki can talk about all the bacon infused things he's tried lately. And I will talk about crazy flavored potato chips. You know, that's a thing for me. I just had, Alan found these at Costco. And it looks really nasty on the cover, but it's buffalo chicken flavored Lay's. So stay tuned to Orange Lounge Foodio to hear more about that. I see some of you guys in chat donating already. Thank you guys very much for that. We're already over 10% of the way there. You guys are nuts, but in the best
possible
way.
What are the other special Lay's right now, Rob, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. That was the only one that we saw. I didn't know they put out a new batch. But it had the label on it called like tailgate favorites. So they're tying it in with
That just doesn't sound delicious.
Not the Super Bowl, but like I guess the playoff games and stuff, because baseball's got big stuff, right?
The like other chip flavored Lay's, so like Cheetos, Funyuns, and Doritos.
That was a thing. I think that has already gone. I think that
is
sometimes
that gone?
Those promotions are sometimes blink and you miss it. And in my opinion, the only good one was the Funyuns. The others were really I thought the Cheetos one was terrible. But anyway,
See, yeah. I didn't even know there were Funyun ones.
More, they were wavy, but there were. All right, more talk like this on. See how easy food derails us, but it's an important part of video gaming is the snacks and all that good stuff that we have. So Orange Launch Video coming soon, probably after Halloween. I'd say early November is a good target time. If we raise 20K points every night, we're going to be there in no time. So probably coming to you in early November. We'll set the date soon. Maybe we can do it on like 19 November or 20 November. I'll have to check on what days those are, but that would be a lot of fun if it works up with everybody's
schedule.
That
would be rad.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a special thing to do. So we'll try. So get the points in quick. All right.
Do the thing.
I haven't even contributed my own points yet, so I'll do that. Let's get into some gaming news. There was a lot going on this week. We had a special Nintendo Direct. We knew this was coming. That's the fun thing about doing this show weekly and live is that sometimes at the end of the show, we're like, hey, 7 days when we're back, 7 days. But when we're back here to do it all again in 7 days, we're going to know some things that we didn't know on episode 886. And now we know the complete roster for Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. The last character was revealed in a special direct, but the news really didn't end there, right, Loki? We had a lot of stuff, right?
Yes. So they announced that, yes, the last character in this Nintendo series, absolutely not missing any Nintendo characters whatsoever. This is absolutely complete. Nobody's missing. But now we have Sora from Kingdom Hearts in Smash Brothers.
No,
I'm sorry, he's not
Loki.
Canon.
That's
not canon anymore.
Interesting.
How so?
I think it'd actually be a really good character to have.
I would have loved Waluigi as well, but like, I get it, and I'm not. Look,
they should have done two characters. Then we'd be only expecting one.
Then this game would never end.
It'd be over. No, this would be the last. You just do the last two characters instead. That way, you get everybody hyped up by like, oh, it's Sora. Waluigi. Then you're like, what about Waluigi's there too?
They have to save somebody for the sequel. Sakurai will never sleep again. I'm just kidding.
What, like he sleeps anyway?
Let Sakurai have a fucking vacation. Send him to Tahiti. He's deserved it. Anyway.
So along with the announcement that Sora is going to be in Smash Brothers, you may be thinking, well, wait a second. Kingdom Hearts isn't on the Switch. But then you'd be wrong because it is now on the Switch or it's going to be coming.
But then you'd be wrong because it's not really on a cartridge.
Yes, it's not really on a cartridge because you have to stream it because the Switch can't run Kingdom Hearts. And so... but yeah, you can pay to stream it.
Hooray. Which is, it's not the first time they've done it. Like Control is a cloud game. And I know in Japan, the cloud-based Switch gaming has been more popular. I think there is a bit of surprise out there in the community that Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 HD Remix are part of this. That those games ran on a PlayStation 3. So you would think the Switch would be capable of those first two games. It's just maybe a question of maybe Square just didn't want to do it. Maybe they didn't think they'd sell enough of them to put out the cartridges. So for whatever reason, they're doing it as a combo cloud pack.
Kingdom Hearts isn't popular at all, so we're just not going to put out cartridges. But Kingdom Hearts is so popular that we're going to include its character in Smash Brothers. Sounds like a contradiction.
Bobby Blackwolf is in chat to remind you over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. See, even when he doesn't have a show, he's here to correct you, Loki. Bobby reminds you that 3DS had Kingdom Hearts. It was literally called Kingdom Hearts 3D. Yes, Drop Distance.
It is not the Switch. Sorry. It's not the
I was going to say, there was
console.
Also the card. There was that card game on the Game Boy Advance,
Yes, I know
too.
The 3DS had tons of things on it, but the 3DS doesn't exist anymore. It's only the Switch. And so, therefore, Kingdom Hearts on a Nintendo console... not a console. It's on a handheld, yes. There's been several Kingdom Hearts properties and things like that, but not on an actual console. There has not.
It makes as much sense as having Cloud and Sephiroth in the lineup do, and it's fine. Like, I really have no problem with it. I'm honestly more surprised, honestly, that they got Sora for it. But at the same time, they were able to get Cloud. They were able to get Sephiroth.
I know. We should have seen all this stuff. You know, Cloud and Sephiroth both from Kingdom Hearts. So, I mean, obviously, Sora
but that's,
would be coming.
You know what I mean, Loki. It's like the other big Square franchise that probably has a lot of Venn diagram overlap with Nintendo fans, and Square and Nintendo are both well aware.
Agent 47, yep, he would have been the next character. if they were doing more characters.
I honestly think Sora is a fine addition. I don't know why y'all are hot and bothered, Loki. It's fine.
I'm not. I don't care.
I think it's interesting. You know, there's the Disney side of it too. You know, because Disney has a stake in this, so I think there's a lot of people that are very interested about the fact that you know, Disney's allowing this in there, and some people have noticed some subtle differences. For example, like the stage that they added that has that infamous stained glass window that's like in the intro to the Kingdom Hearts games. If you look really carefully, you'll notice Donald and Goofy are not there. They got replaced by more generic types of art, not characters, but like, I think like one is now a ship and one's a star, whatever. So Disney very carefully only licensed Sora. There was a very tongue-in-cheek sort of tweet that was going around that showed the Mickey head that's on the Keyblade saying something like, "This shot probably cost Nintendo more than actually licensing Sora." To that, I would say that's not going to be true, because when you license Sora's likeness, that Mickey head is part of the Keyblade. So they licensed that. And I, you know what? I'm sure a company like Disney had final cut approval on the trailer and everything in between. So it didn't cost them as much as you think it did. Nintendo probably went to Disney and Square and said, "Hey, you know our top 5 selling game, Super Smash Brothers? We want to put one of your characters as a paid character in this game. You literally don't have to do anything, but let us use it in our already established, critically popular game. And we project, based on these projections of other characters, such as Cloud and Sephiroth, your company will make millions of dollars off this DLC for doing nothing. How does that sound?" Deal done. If only they could make that same deal for Super Mario RPG, but I guess that's a whole other issue. So there's that.
Yep.
Let's see.
And then along with that, I was going to say, we also got some Mii Fighter costumes as well coming.
I'm sorry. There's some really – I'm sorry. I have to read these chat comments that are on topic because they're really good. Sorry. Bobby Blackwolf says, "One of those things that I was told a bit ago is that the Mickey Mouse ears are not actually controlled by Disney. It's the only Disney iconography that they don't control." That's interesting. Jamie, you've been down that rabbit hole more than us. Have you heard that?
Actually, yes, I have, because I think that's why a lot of independent artists are making like their own mouse ears, for example, that they can sell them. I think that the likeness of a mouse ears can't necessarily be trademarked, only specific dimensions of it to use it in purpose as a logo.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to dig a little bit more into the legalities about it, but I do recall that having been something.
Yeah, and Bobby went to ye olde Google and found that they do not own the copyright. I would have guessed it was tied to that whole Disney has been deathly afraid of Mickey going in the public domain for quite some time, that they actually have these laws that they get passed in Congress, that they call them Disney laws, that basically is extending the time frame that intellectual property is held by companies, and they're basically to prevent Mickey Mouse from going public domain, because when that happens, all the Mickey Mouse porn will be available. So,
thank God that hasn't happened yet, because there certainly isn't any Mickey Mouse pornography on the internet.
There's more to it as well. There's also in terms of generics. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know if, I mean, probably a good number of our listeners may not remember this, but back in the like early 80s, there used to be this ad going around which showed like a massive copier and said, "Don't call it Xeroxing."
Mm.
Or like, and you hear this more often in Europe, but like vacuuming called Hoovering because of the Hoover vacuum.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, when you put on your, it doesn't matter what the brand it is, you know, also over there, if you put on your rain boots, you're putting on your wellies.
Well, I think Nintendo's,
but it's a lot of
Nintendo's had this problem too, is that everybody's like, "I'm going to go play Nintendo even when it's a Sega Genesis," because people of a certain age don't know better sometimes, right?
And now
exactly.
They're correct.
But I think that there's also that Mickey Mouse in general has also sort of fallen a little bit into that semi-generic, but more in terms of description, you know, like, "Oh, it's just your Mickey Mouse," you know, like talking about a mascot or a main character.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, good chat. I mean, it also shed some light on that little tongue-in-cheek tweet. So don't believe – I mean, it was a funny tweet, like as far as like the humor value, great. But at the same time, don't believe everything you read on social media. It's not always extremely well-researched, right? I'm sure we knew that. Anyway, and Bobby's adding, I remember when we all used to TiVo things, yes?
Even Netflix is a generic now.
Pod culture.
If you think about it.
It kind of is, right? Netflix and chill can still be Disney Plus. In fact, that's...
Yeah, and Mike's right about Google it.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Bing.
You know what? I never used Bing. I hated it. I used to use one called Hotbot.
Hotbot. Okay.
It's back now. However, I learned the hard way that if you make a typo, it pulls up porn.
What about Ask Jeeves? What were some of the other... Alta Vista.
Yeah.
I gotta put my brain.
But Hotbot was my jam in like the 90s.
Who's another one? What's that?
Lycos.
Oh, Yahoo. Oh yeah, well before it was a place. I don't know what to call
web
Yahoo.
Crawler
it's a place.
Yeah.
It's Yahoo is now like the trailer park of the internet. And I no offense to, you know, but it's just, you know, it's a place that's there in the town. All right. Anyway.
And DuckDuckGo, by the way, is a lot more modern, I think. So yeah. I don't know that it can be thrown into the realm yet.
Lycos. That was the one I was trying to think of. Anyway. All right.
And I just used AOL back in the day because I had a free account. So all of my stuff was AOL back in the day.
Okay. SSJ 100, Matt, with your next trivia night question. And then Loki, I swear we'll go back to you for the other news that was announced. SG100 Matt says, what about the time that Disney traded a human being for one of their properties? They traded sportscaster contract Al Michaels from ABC to NBC for the Oswald the Rabbit trademark. Oswald was made when Walt worked for Universal, and Disney wanted it because it was the one property they didn't own. And hello, that ties back to gaming, Epic Mickey 2. That was, you know, Oswald was a huge plot device in that. So, fascinating. I didn't know. I mean, like, now that you mentioned that, like, I probably did know that, but I forgot it. So
yeah, that seems to track.
Yeah, it tracks. Exactly. All right. Loki, now we can go back to the direct news,
I guess. I mean, so
we can talk about copyright if you want.
There are more Mii Fighters that have been or DLC for Mii Fighters that have been released as well. So they had a Splatoon-inspired Octoling, and then, of course, the one that everybody's really excited about was the Doom Slayer. So now you can finally get that matchup. And they also had, Judd, which I guess is a referee kitten. I don't know. I don't play Splatoon.
Oh, yeah. At the end of every stage, that fat little kitty that comes out and waves the flag saying who won as the little meter goes, bloop, 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 bloop. It's that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were the things you can buy for 75 cents.
75 whole cents. You know what, though, for the Doom guy versus Isabel matchup, it's worth it. And all the Doom fans hoping that would be the last character are having a sad because all you get is the Mii. But you know what? They threw a lot of stuff into
that
Mii.
Actually on the console, so, you know, there's that.
They threw a lot of stuff into the Miis, though. I remember Undertale was all in there, too, and that was a big
Just
deal.
Just think of how many more characters we could have gotten if they didn't include Fire Emblem into that. It's like 80 characters right there.
Some people kind of like Fire Emblem, though, so...
Cool, you get one, like everybody else. You've had your one, maybe two.
Maybe two.
And you can get some, like... Shadow Fighters or something like that, where you have like 80 different, you know, they're the same character but they look different, you know, type of thing. You know,
that's what I'm surprised we didn't get more of. But then again, that's also kind of the Miis in a way. So, I think, as much as I like, I'm not saying this in a way to be shady to Smash Brothers. It's an iconic game. It is legendary status, especially in tournament and competitive scenes and all this stuff. All that being said, it's time for the life cycle of this game to come to a close. Like, it's been the headline for years and years now. It's time to let Sakurai take a nap, go on a nice trip.
There's more people working on it than just Sakurai.
That's true.
He can take a nap.
But they can move on to another game. Like, honestly, hello, I'd like a new Kid Icarus if they'd like to go back to that. But you know what? Sakurai's earned the right to do whatever period, the fuck he wants, period.
You're telling me that no one could come up with characters for Smash Brothers other than Sakurai? I mean, that seems a little ridiculous
okay,
to me.
But that team and that
and
group
doing the
obviously,
balancing. Okay, yeah, they have a good team, but other people can do that. I mean,
if it was
know.
Easy to make a Smash Brothers game, Nickelodeon Nicktoon Smash might play a little better.
It does play pretty well.
Ahem.
All right. Anyway, SSU100 Matt says, you say these things, Rob, but the Smash community still won't let Melee go. And that's okay. I won't let Final Fantasy VI go. And I know they're doing these pixel remasters, and I don't care. A good video game never has to go away.
We need a 3D remaster of 6.
Even,
that would be amazing. A la, like, 7.
Even if the systems fade out and you don't get to buy the system anymore, that's why we have emulators and all that good stuff. Remember this point. It's going to be relevant again later in the show. Anyhow, for now, anything else out of that direct that you want to mention, Logie?
Nope, that's it.
Nope. All right.
And then, in case you're wondering, the Doom Slayer DLC, that Mii costume actually comes out on the 18th. So we've got it. A little bit of time still for that.
Cute.
Next week.
All right. Okay, let us move on. We're going to go to our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Actually, Dark Soccer, before we get specifically into your gaming week, you've been very in and all about the Twitch culture lately. So there's a couple things I wanted to ask you about. Number one, you're doing another big marathon tomorrow, but this is unlike the last one you did. This is a charity related thing, right? So I know
Correct.
You plugged it on last week's show, but since it is tomorrow night, give a good old plug for what you're doing tomorrow.
So I am doing a 12 or more hour marathon. It depends. My dear friend Barbara, who is one of the people who practically raised me, I said adult raised me, when I was in college, took really good care of me, her and Maggie, has recently been diagnosed with cancer. It sounds like it's aggressive, but she's already undergoing treatment. And I wanted to try to help sponsor some of that treatment by promoting her GoFundMe. So what I'm doing, and if you give me just a brief moment, let me get a link to that real quick. Because I am doing a marathon with goals. So my first, you know, the first one is like, if I raise $100, then, you know, you get something, you know, I'll do like a let people choose my killer or something in Dead by Daylight. Hold on. Here's the link to my tweet. I put it in, and the tweet is actually a, what's the word? Pinned tweet on my profile, just at Dark Sakura. But I'm going to be doing some rewards. I'm also going to be doing some giveaways, for some of my merch, like the Death Hook for Cutie stuff. But my goal is to try to raise, I want to at least like see if I can throw in a grand, you know, cancer treatment is not cheap.
Sure.
So, and I said that if we can hit 5,000, I will play Survivor.
That's a big goal, but I'm going to wish you well on that. I'll be there. And
I might lower
I'll contribute.
It.
Huh?
I might lower it.
All right. Well, shoot for the stars. Shoot for the stars. See,
but
see,
I am,
see where you're going to end up after a few hours.
Even though I am making it a redeem, I am planning on doing a couple of Kill Your Friends matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I might do a Survive with Friends.
Oh, fun.
As like a bonus or something, you
okay.
know?
Yeah.
So it's not really playing Survivor, but it's playing Survivor. Make
okay.
sense?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. On top of that, I'm planning on inviting a few other streamer friends to participate in some of these matches with me. I do have a semi-confirmation from the Piggy Ubu, who is like my Pigu bestu.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, you know, people have been really supportive and have helped me promote, I actually made friends with the new streamer who put it right in his Discord for me, Will Jinkies.
Oh, nice.
He's working his way toward affiliate right now. Really fun LGBTQIA+ streamer. And, I I've also, you know, a couple other friends I want to thank. Le Pen, Tay has said something. Just, you know, friends have been really supported. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I will link the GoFundMe as well. And if you screenshot for me your donation and link it to me either via Discord, a whisper in Twitch, or on my a private message on my Twitter, then you will, depending on the tier, be entered in for one of the item drawings, one of the giveaways. Great. And your funds will count toward the goals.
Awesome. Well, good luck. I hope you are able to get a lot of money for a really good cause.
Thank you. Yeah, Barbara is like one of those people in the world that like seriously means the universe to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I just want to make things easier. And then another of their roommates may have had a stroke. I don't know yet.
God.
So they're in a really tough situation and desperately need the help.
Before we get to your gaming week, you said, or did you already shout out who you wanted to shout out?
I shouted out two people, but I'd like to give another couple of shout outs.
Sure.
So of course, Will Jinkies, new streamer, awesome person. The Pigu Uwu, who is my piggy bestu, my Pigu bestu, I'm sorry.
And these are
Empire.
All Dead by Daylight things for those that don't know what, because Pigu Uwu out of context could mean something very different, but this is a Dead by Daylight thing, just to be clear.
It is a Dead by Daylight thing.
If you haven't figured that out about Dark Soccer by now, she's a fan.
Empire TV is another, a POC, streamer, really awesome and in my home state. So I got to show the Alabama love. And then, a newer friend, Solangere, and it's spelled exactly like it sounds. Solangere, Solangerie, who I made friends with. And I actually put it up on my TikTok. I met them memeing in Dead by Daylight. It was during the Pustula Flowers, and their party was all going around trying to get people to look at the flower with them.
I see.
And I realized what they were doing. And I went in for boops first. I thought they wanted to do a boop match. And then I was like, oh, the flower. And
it's
so
a reference to
I
the Walking Dead. Look at the flowers. Look at
and
the
so I poked at it as pig. And then we all like farmed and memed and I made new friends.
That game is wild sometimes. All right. Let's get into your
It's all about making friends.
Let's get into your gaming week and the other is it been all Dead by Daylight or have you been playing some other stuff too?
Of course it's been mostly Dead by Daylight. I actually did a forego of my stream last night just because I wanted to prep for Monday and I've been really tired. I've been playing Fantasian because that's what I stream on Tuesdays and I need to grind. I'll put it that way. My ass got handed to me on my last boss battle. But that game is so pretty. I love it. And they've actually just done an update for Fantasian. So there's some new endgame content.
That's cool.
And some and they've added in new game plus. So rad, because that game could freaking use it. I've got Final Fantasy 14, and I'm actually I put up a poll and only three people replied to it. So I might do another poll. But I'm thinking my Wednesday nights after work is just going to be doing a Just Chatting stream while playing Final Fantasy 14. So, folks want to chat. I can't play New World like everybody fucking else in the world. So I'll play the MMO I can play.
All right. Let's go to Loki with your gaming week. You're muted, Loki. The joys of...
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
No better. Yeah. So pretty much the same as last week. It's been mostly Minecraft with a little bit of Power Wash Simulator. So I did end up picking up Metroid Dread and the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl game, which I know my kid has been playing the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. They're not going to touch Metroid because they're afraid of that game.
As they should be, TBH.
Eventually, I will play it because it looks really good. So, but, you know, I had to get it. But yeah, Power washing sim. I think the last thing I did was the firehouse.
Oh, I'm not even up to that yet. I'm as far. So I played that on stream.
I know. I missed it. I was like, oh man.
Well, all of my streams are archived all over at my channel.
I know.
Who wants to? Watching the archive streams, you know, usually you're looking for a certain thing. But it was what we did. I washed one of the houses, but I feel like there's more than one house, so I don't know how to better say it. So, but what I unlocked
was it the single story house?
No, it was two story.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking.
What I unlocked was a skate park, and we went in there right at the end of the stream, and it's like there's just bullshit everywhere on that stage. Uh-huh. I was like, this one's going to take a little while, because I did the house start to finish on stream. I only did that and the golf cart. The golf cart took me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
the house like was like an hour and a half. Like it was an hour and a half until I was done. But it went by really, really fast. It was a fun stream.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week?
Nope. That was it. Okay. Just those two things.
For my gaming week, I have been trying to, you know, I say this a lot, I'm trying to stream more, but I think I found a good rhythm that works for me, and that is that period right after I'm off work. So the best time to try to catch me live is going to be around like 4:30-ish Pacific to around 6. I usually end by then. I don't go much longer than an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, just because I don't want to get into the evening stuff, especially when my husband Alan does a lot of streaming in the evenings on like kind of all over the place, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just depending on when he's around. So, so I found a good space. I actually did a bit of streaming. I did one night of Final Fantasy. I did a night with the Power Wash Simulator, and I did Metroid Dread on Friday. So, yes, I picked up Metroid Dread, and I went into Metroid Dread really sight unseen. Like, you guys know, I kind of held back on some of the trailers and some of the description of the game. Like, once the initial launch trailer was out, that's all I needed. New Metroid game coming? Sold. That's all I need. I don't need anything else. So I played the game. I was not expecting that this Metroid is survival horror. And of course, I had people in my chat, like Bobby Blackwolf, that are like, the name of the game is literally Metroid Dread. What were you expecting? And I was like, I don't know, but this is not Super Metroid anymore. When did this become survival horror, where you go into a certain zone and now this big red dot is chasing you? And if they catch you, you are one-shotted. Like, that's some pretty serious stuff. So I ended up screaming a lot more, like the, you know, like when you go behind a door, like, nah, that whole type of thing was like, that should be the name of the game is Metroid, because that would more accurately define the experience of playing the game. Fifth Dream in chat says, those fucking EMMI. Yes, very that. SSJ100 Matt says, it's a very pretty game, though. Yes. Some are asking for my thoughts on the game, because I do love Metroid so much. I'm only like 90 minutes in, so I'm saving more to stream maybe one more next week. But I don't... I wasn't expecting the survival horror thing where you go into certain areas and you're chased by the robot. I kind of wasn't expecting that. So it threw my mindset off, because usually I approach Metroid games and Castlevania type games where I'm like, I'm going to explore every nook and cranny of this zone and scan every part of the wall and do this and do that. That's how I approach it. But I can't do that in Metroid Dread. Now, once you defeat the Emmy in an area, you can go back and you can be a little more. But it just kind of threw off my rhythm, I guess. So I just was a little surprised. So I think the jury is still out a little bit. I am going to give one pretty big criticism of the game that I just don't like it. And that is the fact that it's interesting, because I've seen the game dragged on Twitter a little bit for accessibility reasons because of this. I wasn't even really thinking of that, but wow, yes. And that is that some of the controls are too much. It's too much. And what I mean by that is that, like, okay, you kill the boss, you get the cannon. Now you have to, like, hold R and blast with Y, and then hit this button to do... It's like you're hitting all these buttons in a weird rhythm that doesn't really make sense. And I just... Jamie, I see you talking, but you're muted. What are you saying?
I was going to say, how many fingers do they think you have?
It just felt weird. It doesn't feel natural, and it feels needlessly complicated for a game where I'm used to, oh, you just hit select to toggle between missile, super missile, whatever. And so I don't love that. I think it makes those robots artificially difficult to kill, and I don't think it needs that. So that's my kind of thing with that. Fifth Dream says, hold five buttons, turn the analog stick, hold X and fire. Yes, it's very that. And I'm not loving tilt controls
on top of that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I just think that could be simplified. And, you know, whereas I am easily able to move my hands and I have motor skills and all that stuff, not everybody is as fortunate. And so I just think even for that reason, Nintendo ought to look at how can this process maybe be a little easier. DJ Rama S says, how far into the game are you? Only about 90 minutes. So the first Emmy is a gimme. Like, you hardly do anything, right? That one's a gimme. I got past that. We did that whole second area with the second Emmy and I killed that Emmy. I got up to seeing the third Emmy, the green one, and then that's where we stopped on the stream. And that was about 90 minutes, maybe a little more. So, and that was a couple boss fights with that as well and all that good stuff. Yeah, Tiger Claw says, it's one of those things you see in games where there's something following you that is an instant kill if you try to combat it, and the only way is to get away from it. Yes, that is what that mechanic is, and it was just a little bit jarring. Anyway, but I'm enjoying it, and graphically it looks really good. And so since I said something negative, let me say something really positive, because I do believe this. I love how the game transitions from like the 2D running scenes, and like you blast a door and then all of a sudden, bam, cutscene, but it's seamless. Like, there's no loading time. It's just like you run through the door and then after the cutscene, the camera just spins around and bam, you're back in the 2D mode, seamless. Like, I think the way graphically it does a lot of those tricks, really cool. So it's neat that it's a 2D game, but it is not afraid to show off 3D in the environment, because they do a lot of like checks to Prime. Like, you're never playing Metroid Prime, but in some of those cutscenes, you're seeing through Samus's helmet like it's Metroid Prime. And I think that's neat how they kind of incorporate that in there. Tiger Claw says, so it's more than one Emmy. It's not just one that follows you around. There are seven. That is mentioned early on in the story in the first 10 minutes, so it's not really a spoiler. There are seven, but they all are very similar in what they do. So there is that.
My friend Crystal wasn't very impressed with it, though.
Oh, interesting. Crystal was watching my stream. Did Crystal end up getting the game in the mail, I guess, later that night?
Hold on. It might be a different Crystal we're thinking of.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the Crystal that used to live here that I gave my Xbox, or sold my Xbox to, that's in the Bay Area now.
That's actually who I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
Hold on. I'd have to find the comment on Twitter.
Okay. I'd be curious. Yeah, I know it's hitting with some mixed results, and even I'm kind of like, I like it. I don't know if I love it, because they really changed the formula. And I don't, it just sits okay with me. That's where I'm at right now. But I want to give the game more than 90 minutes before I say this definitive kind of thing on it. So, all right. Let's see. Other
Hold
games.
On.
I do. Wanna
I almost thought I found it. Never mind. I'll find it later. Oh yeah, here we go. Was really hyped for Metroid Dread. Then I played it. If I wanted a game this cheap, I would just play a Souls game, not having any fun at all. It's pretty, but it's not doing anything for me.
Yeah, so, and that's I can read right into that. It's the Emmy mechanic that people are not necessarily enjoying, and it is a different mindset, and that's my biggest. That could also be a big win for some people. That is really fun for some people. That are, especially if you are into those Souls types of games and stuff, that's going to be a big win for you. But, you know, I don't know if it is that way for everybody. Tiger Claw in chat says, you know, speedrunners will find ways to kill the Emmys faster. Oh, no doubt. Speedrunners are already having a field day with Dread, I'm sure. Metroid Dread absolutely will be it. Well, I shouldn't. It'll be in a future Games Done Quick. I don't want to say the next one, maybe the one after that. But you absolutely will see Metroid Dread in a speedrun in the not that distant future.
And it'll be fascinating to watch.
It will. Yes. I'd be very fascinated to see what they do with the Emmys and that whole type of thing. I'm actually looking forward to that. Bobby points out, it can't be an awesome Games Done Quick because they closed those submissions weeks ago. Well, that's why I didn't want to. I chose my words carefully there, because I was like, maybe the summer one. All right. Other games I played this week. One, I'm going to say really fast. So I mentioned I was going to buy this game, but I was going to buy it a little late. So I finally did pick up Diablo II Resurrected. Haven't played a lot of it, But I love the feature where you can toggle between the old graphics and the new graphics by just hitting like the letter G. You flip between the two graphics, because when I go back to the old graphics, and how often do we do this with retro games sometimes? I go back to the old graphics and I go, damn, it looked that blocky? I don't remember that. But you have to remember, we weren't playing Diablo 2 on high definition televisions, essentially, or monitors, back in, you know, the day when that game was first out. We were playing on those giant CRT monitors that actually, if you had a 15-inch monitor, you were lucky. You know what I mean? And yeah, so now, you know, on these big 24-inch, 27-inch HD TVs, it looks very blocky. Fifth Dream in chat says, toggling is the only way I can even tell they updated the graphics. It feels the same if you never switch. Yeah, the game still feels the same, for better and for worse. So, like, I spent hours and hours and hours in Diablo 3. And so I'm not used to this whole fucking, like, and I knew this was a thing, and I remember this was a thing, but I'm not used to, like, your inventory fills up in 10 seconds, and you better have, like, 1,000 town portals to go back and sell things.
They and you better be good at Tetris.
Got rid of that in Diablo 3. So, and Bobby does remind us games weren't as blocky on CRTs just because of the way CRTs work. Yes, very that. So it was very different. But anyway, that's not a read on. It's just, it's one of those things I appreciate. The graphics look very, I mean, it is Diablo 2 with better graphics. This is the game most people asked for when they said, I want them to remake Diablo 2, but don't fucking change it. Don't make it Diablo. Okay, you got your wish, for better and for worse. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I think that's enough of my Hema Week. I, you know, the usual stuff, Dead by Daylight. I had the sweatiest survivors today I was playing against. But
oh,
it's
God.
It's because I'm getting better with Wraith, so I know I'm moving up into MMR. And I play a sweaty fucking Wraith, okay? No-Ed, mm-hmm. Devour, it's all on the table. I don't give a fuck.
Don't rely on that No-Ed, Rob.
I couldn't today, because sometimes, you know, you just get some maps and the totems like spawn on the survivor's ball sacks. Like, yeah. It just spawns that fast. Like, and
I
so what
no
are you going to do?
What we're talking about.
It's okay.
Well,
so in Dead by Daylight, Killers have the ability to have perks that will spawn on what's called totems. Totems are in random places on the map. If the survivor spends 5 seconds or so cleansing a totem, they get rid of your ability. Some maps, such as the Hawkins Laboratory that's going away in November, have pretty good totem spawn points. They're hard to find, the totems on those maps. Some maps, like the Pen Asylum I was playing this match on, you have the potential to spawn a totem right next to a generator. So as the survivors are doing their thing, they're going to see it. So anyway,
that's lame.
Please, I realize we go off the deep end with Dead by Daylight chat sometimes because Darksoccer and I play so much.
I just
much
didn't
of
know what you meant by
ask
sweaty players. I was like, I have no idea what that's referencing.
Sweaty players means two of them brought flashlights and the other one had a flashbang.
So
and they made it their job to make sure I could hook nobody.
Oh, got it.
To sweat is to put effort into something.
Yeah.
Got it.
And if you're really sweating about it, you're really putting
a
lot of effort.
I'm asking questions about stuff. I'm old now.
But they
like
weren't.
That.
Dude, I'm older than you, and I play this game.
They weren't sweating to do the game mechanics of repair 5 generators and get out the door. They were sweating to make my life miserable as the killer.
It was
so
a bully
match.
That's
why I bring No-Ed. What?
Well, they were being efficient. That's the thing. If you get a good Swift that knows what they're doing, they know how to use their teamwork, and they're efficient, and mm-hmm. you have to sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to bring
but the really sweaty survivors are the ones who are trying to go the extra route to get the flashlights
I've,
done the killer. Although
I've
sometimes
gained a lot
call those
of COVID
a bully squad.
Weight. It doesn't take much to make me sweat anymore. So just saying.
Well, that's kind of why, and I'll end my part of the DBD stuff after this. Was kind of why, like, I super love playing Pig and Freddy because
mm-hmm.
I always bring Whispers. So I have an idea where people are, especially for Pig. Like, my build right now is Whispers, Corrupt Intervention. So half my generators start off unusable. I'm explaining for Loki. Mm-hmm. The other one I use is Hex Ruin, which means that when someone stops working on a generator, it starts regressing.
Ooh.
And then I also, though, will use Pop Goes the Weasel, because when they have killed my my hex ruin, when they find my totem, I at least can get the generators to start degrading a little bit differently with that one. And it's a perk, not a totem. So all of those together mean I have a good time with Pig, pretty much.
You're the pig that when Tay goes into a match and goes, ah, just DC, it's a pig.
Yeah, people will DC against my pig. I take that as a badge of honor. I'm actually going to start running one of those tallies in my channel.
But Loki, DC is disconnect, and that means that
somebody
would rather take a 5-minute penalty in waiting for the next game than finish the game that they signed up for. That's a DC.
Yeah. I get that.
And I've done it. I've done it as a killer. I've done it as a survivor. Sometimes you're just not having it.
Sometimes you will get asshole matches, though.
You will. All right.
Like absolute bullies, but yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Well, a lot of this, of course, we've learned from watching various Twitch streams and doing things on Twitch. And Twitch, once again, in the news this week, aren't they, Loki?
Yes, because Twitch got hacked. And what did the hackers take? Yes. So they went in and they took all of Twitch, all of it, every single bit of it. And so now they've got, for example, the source code of Twitch and all of the special tools that they have, the mobile, desktop, and video game clients. They now know that there is a unreleased Steam competitor called, I don't remember what it's called.
Vapor.
Now. It's Vapor. Very aptly named. Basically, just all of it. So that's concerning because, they leaked everybody's earnings that were making money on the platform. Cool, I guess. I don't know. And it's not necessarily like all of the earnings. It's just the revenue from subscriptions.
And it's also only like the top 1,000 or something like that. Because if you search for me or you search for VOG Network, you're not going to find it because we don't make that much money on it. We barely...
You search for me, you're going to find I make no money because I don't stream money.
In fact, you might be sad and give more money when you see that we're not making any. I'm teasing. I'm not in it for the money. Darzagra?
Well, there's also, I think like everybody had their Twitch keys reset.
Yes.
And encouraged to change their passwords, which of course I did all of that.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Which is kind of funny. Here's a funny behind the scenes story. So they didn't they reset the stream keys, right? So Bobby was like, oh, because we all use separate stream keys to do this VOG Network thing. I have my own stream key, but because you can do that. You can issue out basically like partner keys. That's how a lot of corporate brands allow people to stream to their channels, different people, right? So, you know, so VOG does this. So I have my own key. So, Bobby went in this week and reset it. He's like, okay, since they're resetting all the stream keys, here's this. Have fun. The day after he does it, we get another email. So they reset everybody's stream keys. And then 2 days later, they realize, oh, we have to reset the delegated stream keys too. So they reset it again. And Bobby had to send me another key. And that wasn't a waste of time or anything. But it's
I remember now how to find my stream keys. I'll have to go do that.
Yeah.
Google it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How to find your stream key?
Yeah.
It's in your profile information.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, it's a mess. God, I sound like such a boomer today. I swear to God.
Okay, anyways, Loki.
So outside of that, you know, obviously they confirmed that, yes, they'd been hacked. And they said that full credit card numbers are not stored by Twitch. So those weren't necessarily exposed. But, you know, change your passwords, all that fun stuff. Plus, they also got access to the Switch or the Twitch SOC internal red teaming tools, which are, you know, different things that they use for, developer stuff. So, you know how we had this whole botting problem? Well, I think it's going to get worse. So that's good. And then on top of that, just to scare you a little bit more that, hey, it may not be over yet. They've been taking Jeff Bezos' picture, a really horrible picture of him, and kind of pasting in the background of different game categories. So if you look at some of the different games, you may have seen Jeff Bezos' face kind of slowly peeking out as if some Halloween specter looking behind the game.
Like Michael Myers, right?
That's freaking frightening. Like
that kind of thing.
So that's reassuring that that's still happening now after it's been hacked, that, you know, somehow they're able to do that. So do they still have access? What's going on? Like, do we even know? I don't know. So I guess we're going to have to wait and find out what happens from all of this, because that's not great. It's not a great place to be in.
No, it is not great. And there's supposedly like
definitely not a pretty look.
There's like a part two that's coming at some point or something, right?
Yes, so, yes, because there's 125 gigabytes for the dump. They called it part one, so it's there may be more coming. Who knows?
The part I'm trying to wrap my head around is that the impression I was getting from some of what they were releasing, I felt like they were trying to come off as like an ethical hacker, which is a hard thing to do when you're posting things to 4chan.
Right.
Period.
And also, yeah, like, you know, you are divulging people's incomes, which I guess if you're trying to take the Robin Hood, you know, F the top percent or whatever, then I guess I can let that slide a little bit. But it's
but
weird.
People are
is this supposed to be
income,
an ethical hack or no?
Like, I don't understand what the point of calling people's incomes out, because, like, yeah, people, they, you know, they work for that kind of stuff. You have, like, folks like Hassan or whatever that, like, stream, like, 7 days a week. I mean, you have lots of people.
This is their job.
And they stream for, like, 10 hours a day. Like, dude, that's more hours in for their work that they're putting in than I'm putting in for my work. Like, yeah, I think that they deserve the money that they get. It's listen, we're not holding guns to people's heads to force them to subscribe to these people. People subscribe because they want to support them. So, yeah, like, I don't see where the downside is there.
But that's seriously the thing, is that it is their job. It is what they do for a living. It is not always fun, mm-hmm, you know, but it's what they do for a living. It'd be like someone went to my job, published my job and my salary, which, I mean, I kind of don't care. But personally, I mean, I care if people know where I work, but you know what I mean? Going back to my point, it's not, there's nothing ethical about it. They did it for EPIN.
There was a very interesting response by Pokimane, one of the streamers that's on that top 100. She does very well for herself, obviously, and she was very much in the limelight recently because she helped AOC, the congresswoman, do her stream when she was doing Among Us during the last election cycle. Pokimane had a very interesting response to the whole thing. She kind of said, well, now you know why I limit the amount that people can donate. And I thought that was an interesting take on it. Is she was kind of like, I got the impression of that. She's like, I know I make a lot of money doing this. I don't need to make more. Because she addressed like sponsorships and things of that nature that aren't captured by that list, which I just thought was interesting. Speaking of interesting, this comment in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, a couple of people wondering, could this have been an inside job? DJ Rama S says, well, I think it was an inside job.
A third party.
Critical Myth says, definitely seems like an inside job to me. What were you saying, Loki?
I was going to say, Twitch said it was a third party that did it.
Well,
so far, they haven't figured out that it's internal.
See, sometimes, though, Loki, it's all in the words. Because technically, and I don't mean to, you know, get my tinfoil, make me a hat.
Third party. Yeah.
Technically, if you don't work for Twitch anymore, but you took something on your way out the door, you're a third party because you don't work for them anymore.
I like how they called it a Twitch security incident. Dude, come on.
DJ Rom S says, and now people are salty because so much streamers are making bank. Wait until I tell you how much people in Hollywood are making. Just you wait. You know, did you go see that new Bond movie this weekend? Do you know how much Daniel Craig made for that? Just wait until I tell you. I can understand. Continuing with the comment, Rom S says, I can understand because some streamers throw that in your face, so fuck them. But overall, if you're salty that streamers are making more money than you, then it's a personal issue to you. And then Tiger Claw says, some will see those earnings and think they should probably get into Twitch. Well, I'm all for enabling more people to get on Twitch because Twitch is a platform. Use the platform. And there's if you looked at that list, you're going to notice there was very much a trend within the top 100, top 500 streamers. There was very much a trend in what all those people look like. And what gender they are, and so forth. Sure, there's exceptions in there. But for the most, do those exceptions match the exceptions in the population? No.
Mm.
No. So, yes, we need more people to get on Twitch. But are they going to want to do that after this happened? Doubt it. Anyway. All right. Anything else you want to say on this before I move to the next? I almost want to read your comment on Air Rama. I'm not going to, but I'm just going to acknowledge it because you're talking about your day job and I'm just kind of winking at you. You know. Anything else you want to say, Loki, before we go to the next story?
No, I'm good.
Right. Then let's go to talking about Konami, an old favorite here. Back in the day, not, you know, the Konami that publishes eFootball, but the old Konami of yesteryear. So, of course, when we talk about retro Konami, this sort of thing really tugs at our heartstrings. Konami announced a contest, and this was right around the time we were doing our show last week, so it missed the cutoff last week, but they announced a contest where indie developers can create brand new games based on the portfolio of brands and classic IPs. Not everything, but there's a pretty good chunk of quote-unquote forgotten Konami IPs is on this list. Not on the list, Castlevania. Not on the list, Suikoden or Silent Hill. Yes, on the list, Gyrus, Goemon, Yare Kung Fu, I think, is on the list, too. There's a lot of stuff on there. So whoever wins this contest could get a nice check and potentially some game sales. This is a contest being held in collaboration with the Shueisha Game Developers Camp. So before January 6, 2022, based upon one of these 80 brands, maybe Darsak will get a new Twinbee out of this because that's on the list, and so forth. So once you make one of the games based on these brands, then Konami's going to judge them, and the grand prize winner will get 2 million yen. That's about $18,000 in U.S. dollars. But if Konami wants to actually see one of those games come out, they will help the studio develop and release the game. That could be up to 30 million or the equivalent of $270,000 to develop, supervise, and so forth. That's pretty neat. Now, I posted about this on Twitter after last week's show, and I got a response from one of our listeners that I really thought was worth reading. And this was from 13X Forever, who comments a lot in Discord, but I think because of time zones, isn't really here live usually. And the response I got was from 13X Forever was, do they compensate the time spent on this for every contestant? Do contestants retain the rights on the prototypes they submit? I guess the answer is no and no. So basically, it's the usual con to exploit over-enthusiastic indie devs to give them a bunch of new ideas for pennies.
Pretty much.
As much as that's a cynical perspective, I think it's a fair one in this, is that, yeah, not every game is going to get picked. Could you run into this situation where Konami suddenly puts out their own thing and it's like, oh, this looks like a lot like the indie developed thing? That they could run into that. Still, I feel like there's a way YYR could reskin Pixel Poops into a Konami brand.
Call it Pro Evo Soccer.
That's that
Pro Evo Pooper.
That you better watch out, or there's going to be a cheat code that's going to make the main character wear a soccer jersey.
All right. And we can really have Pro Evo Pooper.
Just turn the people that run across in the park into soccer players. There you go. Done.
YYR has a wife, a child, a job. I don't think YYR is going to enter this contest. But I think of people like YYR and so forth that maybe do want to make a big thing. And, you know, it could... There could be a nice thing that develops from this, is that, you know, you could maybe... You know, get your foot in the door with the industry. Having this be your
Konami
first game could be a big thing.
That's the same thing as working for exposure, Rob. And you know what I say about that.
Fair enough.
But people just give up.
People die of exposure.
Isn't that what a lot of indie developers are doing anyway?
Not.
I mean, what are we doing?
Well, we're doing it for fun.
I reiterate, we're not
fun.
On the list. You're right. We're doing it for fun. There you go. That's it. Don't do this unless it's going to be fun. Because the cynical side of that and all that, you know, very, you know, and I say cynical, but I don't mean it in a negative way. It's a very realistic perspective and so forth. So, yes, keep that in the back of your mind. But if you're sitting there going, it might be kind of fun to make a Gyrus game just to see what happens. Like, Loki, You're a game maker now. You want to enter the contest?
No.
Okay. Well, then it's not fun.
I don't want to make any new games for there. Well, I mean, a new Contra game would be awesome. But
like, see, now we're going. I don't know if that was on the list, though. But anyway.
It wasn't, probably. Yeah, probably not. You know, because they're too busy ruining their own franchises. You know, they need other people to make, you know.
All right. I'm looking
at it. It's bad enough that we exist in a world that there's a Frogger TV show. That is blasphemy as it is. I don't care how far removed it is from the actual Frogger game. It's blasphemy, okay?
Blasphemy, blasphemy.
I laughed so hard my earpiece just fell out. That's not good. All right. Anyway, all right. I'm also looking at chat, and people are just going e-poop ball, Pixelvania, soccer shits. They're just going crazy.
Soccer shits.
Fifth Dream in chat says Russian attack. Oops, I thought I was in a Google window.
They remade Russian Attack not that long ago.
It
wasn't very
good. It was an Xbox 360 arcade thing,
yeah,
wasn't it? Where it was just the old arcade game with new graphics? Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't.
I think they changed up some stuff, but yeah, it was okay.
And Orange Wright says, Poopin' Attack. Oh my God, that's it. That's it. Oh my God, that's it. Loki, just brand your game Poopin' Attack and see what happens.
Frogger.
All right, moving on.
For just those, call it pooper.
For those newer to Orange Lounge Radio who don't maybe understand the joke, there was a...
We're 5 years old and like poop jokes.
Basically, and namely Dark Sakura, got years ago, like, we have this list of dream games. Suddenly we'll be on a tangent train and we'll say, hey, this game should exist. And Dark Sakura came up with this idea for Pixel Shits, and it was just about, I don't know, I guess it was about shitting on things. Anyway,
even come up with that? Because I'm stupid.
I don't even know. We'll have to go back to the archive. I don't even remember what episode it was on. Anyway, YYR, one of our listeners and a great indie game maker, yyrgames.com, I hope I got his website right, who's made a lot of great games, made that game into a reality. Then, in a moment of, wow, how recursive can things get here, Loki goes and makes a sequel, Pixel Poops number 2. So yep. if you're wondering, why are we sitting here talking about Pixel Shits all night? Because it is a indie game we sort of started that like is an actual thing you can get on itch.io and Steam. So check it out if you haven't already. All right. Let's move on, though.
I don't even know what I'm on anymore, Rob.
Let's talk about other things that took a big shit this week. Dark Sakura?
I laughed my ass off. This was
too.
Funny.
I did, too.
Because I didn't get affected at all.
This was great news. I had a great morning this morning.
Oh, gosh. So Facebook, the thing I have successfully extracted myself mostly from, went down. It went down. It went down hard. Not just that, Instagram, WhatsApp, and the 11th circle of hell called Facebook, were gone. Like, someone sent me an Instagram link and I tried to look at it and I'm like, whew!
And it was very the last Facebook is in captivity. The galaxy is at peace.
Is at peace. Yes.
For 5 hours on a Monday morning.
And everybody in the 60 and up demographic
has nowhere to go.
Couldn't play Farmville or whatever they're doing now. Deleting it was. I think it did affect people who were using Oculus, weren't that? Didn't it?
Oh, yes.
Because your Oculus stuff is tied to Facebook.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it was, they basically posted that, yeah, some people, quote, this is a bullshit post, were having trouble accessing their apps and games, but they were working to get it back to normal, which unfortunately they did.
And a huge amount of the VR contingent cried out, this is why we didn't want this bullshit in Oculus.
I like the quote from FIFA Mobile. We're aware that accounts linked to Facebook may be encountering issues with logging in. This is due to an outage at Facebook, and we hope they resolve it shortly. Thanks for your patience.
I saw Niantic put a thing out for Pokemon Go, too, because a lot of people log into that with Facebook. Yeah.
This This is why you don't have Facebook log into your shit for you.
And here's the thing. I, of course, saw the socially aware Twitter contingent that was saying, we shouldn't be celebrating this because there's people in other countries that use WhatsApp for their primary communication. And WhatsApp is basically like the phone to them. And you all are taking delight in these communications being down in these countries where it's needed. And I'm thinking, hold up. There's a difference between taking delight and being well aware that maybe this should give us all pause to something that a lot of us have been saying for some time now, and that is how many fucking cookie jars Facebook has their hands in. It is 100% okay, and no, you will not shut me up to say, well, maybe Facebook shouldn't own WhatsApp if it's that fucking important in all
maybe
these countries.
They shouldn't have bought them.
Maybe Facebook and WhatsApp should be separated. And that's the conversation you and I both should be having, and not you coming for me going, but what about the people and the what? Stop. Like, nothing pissed me off more than that. I'm sorry. But it's like, who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to impress? Do you want to suck Zuckerberg's cock while you're at it? Because that's basically what you're doing. Stop it. I have feelings. Sorry. Tiger Claw in chat says, my parents use WhatsApp because we have relatives in Cuba who use it. I'm sorry that line of communication went down for 5 days or five hours. And I hope that maybe this gives us all question to should Facebook have control over a company like this? Or should we be looking at alternatives like Signal, like Telegram? Like, there's a lot of choices out there. Pick any of them. Sia Tiberian chat says they broke up AT&T from AT&T Mobile in the 90s for less.
Oh, yeah, that came right back. Uh-huh. They need to do it again.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
Like all of the telecoms, Comcast, you know, NBC, you know, all of them, just all of them.
Dar Sakra, I know old man was yelling at Cloud for a little bit, but I don't think you disagree either. You have some similar feelings, I think, when it comes to the Facebooks, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I find the place to be a cesspool, and not just with how it tracks and steals information, but also with, I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase this, with a certain culture that's fostered there. And I'm not just talking about the right-wing red people, you know, but I'm also talking about the echo chamber of the left.
Sure.
Massive echo chamber.
Sure.
And it encourages that sort of circular type of discussion with so much confirmation bias. And because that's what they're promoting. Those are the posts that you see first, or the, we want you to get mad about this thing that other people are doing so we can make profit off of your anger.
In, there
they
is
just
so
keep
much
trying to sell me underwear. So, there, you know, that's a thing.
Go. It was a very stressful place for me, and my life has been a lot better without it.
Loki, if you want it to stop showing you underwear ads or whatever, there is a place you can go in and erase like everything it's tracking on you.
I know.
And I just use an ad blocker anyway, yeah. So whatever.
Well, I'm on my mobile phone, so that's why it's just not been.
You can get ad block for a mobile phone.
I know, but I'm getting a new mobile phone here pretty soon, so I haven't really bothered with it.
Here's the thing, too, with Facebook and all that stuff, is that there's also so much international influence going on there. Like, Facebook, you know, I don't want to sound drastic, but I said this in a chat the other day. I said, there is a world war being fought right now, and it's being fought on Facebook, and the weapon is misinformation. And guess what? America
totally
is losing.
It's almost like that they had a whistleblower come out and say the same exact thing the same day it went down. It's so weird.
And I don't mean to be old boomer yells at cloud, which is apparently the theme tonight, but I don't care because I do also think that's kind of important. And yes, this does have to do with gaming because we have Facebook gaming. We have, you know, all of this comes into gaming culture and all that stuff. And I'm so happy that the government is finally doing something and looking into it because, yes, there are a lot of problems with Facebook. Let's tie it to something else that was in the news. Twitch, with this hack and all this stuff and the hate raids. Something they did recently. I even have two-factor authentication on my account, and I still had to do this. I wanted to chat in somebody's channel, and it said, hold on, we need to text you to verify this account first. And okay, so I did that whole thing. Why doesn't Facebook do this? make you text verify your accounts. The same way that Twitch does it, you have to use an SMS number and you can't use a Google thing. You can't use a burner account to do it. It has to be a legitimate SMS number. Why can't they do that? Why can't they take that simple step to ensure that the people on there are who they say they are? And if somebody doesn't have the phone, well, then you know what? They don't have the Facebook mobile app anyway, so they're no use to Facebook. Facebook could take that precaution tomorrow, but they're not going to until somebody
forces
them to do it.
It would hurt their bottom line. It's just like what
Bingo. What
the whistleblower is saying is that they could stop hate speech, or at least could curb some of the misinformation on there, but then it would drop engagement, which hurts their bottom line. They make decisions that really only benefit their bottom line, which is money. They don't really care. Just like how it's super frustrating that I go on there and I can't just view stuff chronologically, please. Even like Twitter does the same thing now, where it's like kind of annoying they mix stuff up in there. But for the most part, at least it's somewhat chronological.
And
but
you can switch your feed to chronological. You can curate lists very easily on Twitter. Yeah, that's why I don't get Twitter as much shit.
But like, you know, with Facebook at least, like I do use Facebook for some of the groups I'm in for like Minecraft and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I'll like browse through those, which those are fine. But it's I always have to constantly set it to go in the chronological order. It's like, no, we want you to see it this way. And it's irritating. Like, I just can't, like, I'll find something. I'll jump out of the app for a second to go look something up in, like, my web browser, come back, and then it's already gone. And I can't find it again.
I have a Facebook, too, and I hate it. If I didn't have it, I would miss out on big news. I would miss out on people getting married and having babies, because that's just the way it is now. And it sucks.
Rob?
What?
If my friends care enough about me to involve me in that part of their life, they'll fucking tell me.
Sometimes the news may not be good, and I'm just going to have to leave it at that. And that was part
of the
reason.
I have other friends that have been telling me about it, but I'm really to the point where if somebody doesn't tell me, if somebody doesn't think enough to bring it to my attention, to think this is something I'm interested in, like I found out about Barbara through Tiara, but I am still not going to give Facebook my attention. I'm not going to give it my cookies. I posted once in the last, 3 months for that damn marathon I'm doing tomorrow. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I do not care.
Yeah.
And if people do not care enough about me to tell me about what's going on with them, then that's on them. That's not on me.
I don't care
about how easy it is either. This is addressing what Rana said. I don't care about it being fucking easy. If someone cares enough to involve me in their life, they are going to fucking tell me.
There was a world without Facebook that we're old enough to have experienced. Yes. And then the other thing I want to say with Twitter, everything I was screaming about with Facebook and the phone number verification, I honestly want Twitter to do it too. I want any social media site to do it. I think it's a good idea.
There should always be some sort of two-factor authentication.
There should be that, and just verifying that the number is in the U.S., full stop, because Twitter has a huge foreign manipulation bot program problem. Huge. It's very easy to filter it out because you don't have my stupid cousins buying into that bullshit on Twitter that you do on Facebook, but it's definitely there, and there are people falling for it. Anyway, now that we're done yelling at clouds, let's move on to our next story.
One last teeny thing.
Yes, Dark Soccer, of course.
People have forgotten how to talk to each other. That's it. People have forgotten how to talk to each other.
People will sit there and go, why is the world so polarized? When did the U.S. become so polarized? Here, it's Facebook. There's the two world answer. There's the two word answer to all of the problems. It's Facebook. That's it. Any problem that this country's having with polarization, it's Facebook. Any problem with the vaccine and the elections, and it's Facebook. The reason why that Emmy killed me in Metroid Dread when I wasn't expecting it, somehow it was Facebook. I know it. Moving on.
I think it was different when we had things like MySpace and LiveJournal, because MySpace was really just like sort of like a short little, you know, it was easy. It was more Twittery, if that makes sense. And LiveJournal for us was basically a public diary. But yeah.
Looking at some comments in chat here, I am trying to move on past this topic, but
sorry. See,
no, you're fine. Sacred Jade said, conversation is a lost art. I thought this was, because a lot of people agree with this. Fifth Dream says, I never wanted to talk to people in the first place.
Exactly.
And kind of goes on and talks about some other problems that existed before Facebook. Sure, those problems all existed, but Facebook amplified it, and Facebook allowed additional noise to make that conversation even worse. But
it's like human microphone, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
In an echo chamber.
In everyone's bathroom. Okay, moving on. Next story. Loki.
So speaking of stuff from the past, we finally are catching up from the past with Epic Games Store as they're adding achievements. Oh my God. It's about damn time. They're like only several years behind everybody. Not as behind as Nintendo, but you know, I digress. So they're going to be adding a new achievement system. It kind of is like a combination of the achievement points that you get on the Xbox side of things and the like different trophies that you would get on the PlayStation side. So they're going to basically have, each game is going to have 1,000 XP. And with that, there are going to be different achievements that are ranked. You have bronze, which is 5 to 45 points. 50 to 95 for silver, 100 to 200 for gold, and 250 for platinum.
And it's like, how can we steal from PlayStation and Microsoft system and kind of combine it into that hybrid Voltron of achievement systems?
Yeah, so it's going to be very similar to what we see on other platforms, basically. So it's about time.
It also kind of actually makes sense, because a lot of those games on the Epic Store and any PC game really also exist on consoles. And so a lot of developers don't want to have to make separate trophy slash achievement systems for it's very nice when it just kind of all lines up, you know? And maybe a bronze trophy here is 20 points here is both on the Epic Store, I guess, or whatever the case is. So there's that. Do they need achievements? Like, a lot of people are saying it's 3 years too late or whatever. Nintendo's gotten away with not doing achievements for a long time. I think we'd all like them to have it, but
yeah, it's, I think that they do. I mean, it would be nice to have that, just to have, be more robust and more feature complete. I mean, there's still shopping carts and other things that they really need on the storefront. I mean, honestly, like, we really shouldn't have early access shopping places. It should just be complete already, but it's Epic Games Store, so whatever. At least I get a free PC building simulator this week.
Oh, yeah, I picked that up too. Bobby Blackwolf pointed that out to me. He was like, you should get this. I'm like, okay, because I'm all about sim games
good.
Right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do want to play that.
All right.
But yeah, that's it.
All right. Moving on to our next story. We had a famous video game composer who passed away this week. The composer of Dragon Quest, Koichi Sugiyama, passed away at the age of 90. You may know him from the iconic theme to Dragon Quest. He passed away at the age of 90. Let's go on to our next story, Dark Sakura.
May his memory be a blessing.
So,
more in the Activision Blizzard bullshit drama. And I mean, the bullshit is that they're full of bullshit. But now the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, DFEH, has filed a motion to intervene in the settlement between the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and Activision Blizzard, arguing that their own trial against the company will be irreparably damaged by the conditions of the settlement. The settlement also includes a clause that will allow Activision Blizzard to remove any allegations of sexual harassment from personnel files in the settlement. So basically, it's destroying evidence that's going to go for DFEH's trial. They actually met with both Activision Blizzard and EEOC on October 5th to let them know of its plan to intervene. Normally, I'd have to wait 7 days before filing for the intervention, but because of the grave harm, they filed the motion ex parte, which basically allows it to be filed instantly if the court finds it to be a reasonable request. So, and of course, you can see why something like that would be absolutely important, because if they have the permission to destroy this evidence, then they're just going to keep doing it. That's the whole fucking terrible thing about settling like that. And they have a history of destroying evidence. 2 months ago, DFEH accused the company of shredding evidence that would reflect on the company poorly in the same case, with their also, you know, fact that they've hired a union busting firm and they're trying to do a lot of sweeping under the table. They're not, it's not a pretty look for them. We know they've tried to do it before. We know what they're doing. It's obvious what they're doing. And I'm really glad the DFEH is saying, hey, we're not having this shit. No. Bad company. No cookie.
I don't have anything else to add. I'm looking forward to the deposition of Bobby Kotick.
Yeah. Kotaku, by the way, it's where I don't like to say certain things by name, but they actually did get a statement from Activision Blizzard.
Sure.
I'll read it verbatim. We are committed to making Activision Blizzard the most welcoming, inclusive, and safe workplace possible. Our agreement with the EEOC reflects our commitment to significant improvements and transparency, as well as making immediate compensation available to eligible employees who choose to participate. Activision Blizzard is ensuring a workplace free from discrimination, harassment, and unequal treatment of any type. Bullshit. Bullshit. I mean, like, in the settlement, it states, and I'll go ahead and just also verbatim this because I think it's important to listen to the language of it. Within 30 days from the date, the EEOC notifies Activision Blizzard the names on the distribution list they agreed to, A, remove the personnel files of each eligible claimant, any references to the allegations related to sexual harassment, pregnancy discrimination, and or related retaliation, except to the extent that defendants must keep records of the allegations for any eligible claimant's involvement in this charge in order to effectuate this decree, which in case such records must be maintained separately from the eligible claimant's personnel files. Does that make sense to people? Because it says they can delete it and the other stuff has to be kept separate from the personnel file.
I was just saying, I think Tiger Claw puts it very succinctly in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, saying destroying the evidence just makes it sound like they're guilty of something.
Well, yep. There's even more to this. This has
there's
to do
so
with
so much
the
evidence of us not doing this thing. We just could get rid of some of it and we're still fine.
As I was saying, there's even more that's really nefarious about this settlement as well, and that has to do with the distribution of the settlement funds. So, and again, I'll read this verbatim. If any of the settlement fund remains undistributed after exhausting the efforts to locate the eligible claimants as set forth, the excess funds will be distributed between Cypress Fund for distribution to charitable organizations whose missions involved advancing women in the video game and technology industries or promoting awareness around sexual harassment and gender equality issues, and the Diversity and Inclusion Fund to be used by the defendants exclusively for diversity, inclusion, and equity efforts beyond the scope in terms of this the decree. The allocation between Cypress Fund and Diversity and Inclusion Fund will be decided by the defendants, but subject to approval by EEOC. So basically, Activision Blizzard could use this money for other things that they would, quote, say goes into improving diversity, but might not necessarily do it.
And they are willing
there's
to
a lot of failure.
Evidence of that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And they are, again, limiting any sort of information to be disclosed about their liability in any of this. And
that just screams innocent to me.
It's absolutely nefarious. And this intervention, I mean, they've done this before. They did it with Riot Games.
And this probably won't be last time.
Yeah, this is... We need to keep our eyes on this. We need to pay attention to the precedent something like this sets. And honestly enough, it's why the whole settlement business is disgusting. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is disgusting.
All right. I got nothing to add except this news story is just going to continue to be in the news every week.
So settlements mean people with money can walk away with no damage, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. Loki.
Yeah. So we keep talking about how Sony is planning on discontinuing these stores for the Vita and PlayStation 3. Well, right now they're planning on removing credit card and PayPal support from both stores in late October. So essentially kneecapping them. I guess you can still have those stores open to re-download software that you've already purchased, but you're going to be unable to make any more purchases starting October 27th. So,
this is them trying to phase those things out again, but now they're just going to... No, I saw a legit...
I get the purchase thing, but...
I saw a legit thing about, like, how the credit card fees and stuff, they probably just don't want to be paying for those anymore. There's probably... As much as the internet was pissed off when Sony threatened to pull these things the first time, I'm pretty sure the reality is these stores are not being used very much by people.
Yeah, but the credit card fees, you'd only get paid by transaction. I can't imagine that it would be more expensive on this storefront versus like their current storefront. I think it's more of just like they want to drive people towards newer software, and so they're probably just going to shut this down so people spend their hard-earned money on those $70 Sony games instead of, you know, the original. Especially when we're talking about, like, remasters and remakes, you know? Hey, you can buy the original for $20 instead of $70 or something like that.
And several folks in chat are saying, you can still add money, you just can't do it directly. Yes, but do you? I sort of also can tell this is the first step in where Sony has already shown they would like to be. But I, on one hand, I do get it. You know, I think for the direct, you know, whatever they built into the system and so forth, they probably just don't want to be paying for it anymore. That it isn't worth it to them. And there's a part of me that does get that. And like you guys are saying, you can still get money on there. It's not going to be as easy, but you can do it. So it's not like they're gone. So,
yeah.
All right. Moving on to our next story. Kotaku ran a report this week talking about how Metroid Dread is already running on Switch emulators. And in the report, Kotaku has talked about how the game is fully playable in various 4K Nintendo Switch emulators. They reference a couple of emulators in the story. They talk about Yuzu, which is an open source emulator. They talk about Ryujinx, which is another one that both of these can play the game. You can see some YouTubes of this in action because it plays the game at 4K. Kotaku is getting a lot of shit for running this article from folks on the Twitters and on social media. And I think a lot of people are very upset because Kotaku is talking about piracy only a couple days after the game came out, I guess. Here's the thing, though. I don't get it. I think that outrage is kind of misplaced. I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you to the point partway, maybe not even halfway. I'll meet you partway. I understand maybe Kotaku didn't firmly enough say, hey, downloading software illegally is wrong. But they also didn't link to the ROMs. They linked to the emulators. And now all of you that are mad about it and posting about it, it's just the Streisand effect. Now you're spreading this more openly that the game is emulatable in these emulators. Here's the thing. Here's why I think Kotaku... As a gaming, I cannot believe how fucking full circle we've come. Here I am about to defend this website. Look, y'all, note the date and time. Here I am about to defend this website. My, how far we've come. However, be that as it may, they're making a point, is that right now, only like 2-3 days after release, this game is running better on these emulators than it does on the hardware. So there's point number one, and I think that is a newsworthy point, whether you like it or not. Because technically, you're not supposed to use these emulators if you don't have the software and the way to get the card to read on your computer and all this stuff. Yes, I know. Who really does that? I know, but that's the way these emulators are supposed to
be. I would totally run
done.
That because I have the game, so it would be fun, though, to check it out on, like, a 4K console.
Right.
Or, like, on a PC. And the one I saw them running in 4K, it's just running on GTX 1060. Like, my son's laptop is lesser spec than mine, can run it, like, 60 FPS. So mine, I'm like, dang, I can run that at you know, 4K or something like that. That'd be awesome. And I should be able to do that because I own the software.
Here's the other interesting thing about the article. I want to read this part verbatim because I thought this is where they really made their point, in my opinion. Thanks to Nintendo's rather poor approach to supporting older games, especially those on the Game Boy Advance and DS, emulation is often the only viable means to play through their collection, and this is the case for much of the Metroid franchise. There are so many good reasons to be grateful for pirates, emulators, modders, and hackers. They may have overeaten at the buffet with that, the way that sentence is structured, but let's focus on the point. For doing what so many big publishers won't, keeping old games alive. Clearly, that's not the case for Metroid Dread, a brand new game, but this is an enormous issue Nintendo has to face, given the relative technical inferiority of its current console. Now, although I think they overate on the sentence where they said, be grateful for pirates, I think that might have been a little bit oof. Everything else they said in those two paragraphs kind of does a very appropriate dragging of Nintendo. And the fact that, yeah, you know, everybody's belly aching for Super Mario RPG to hit the Switch console. So how are you all playing that game right now? How do you know this game is so great? Do you still have a dusty Super Nintendo?
I have an SNES Classic. No, but so I would say, though, they should be thanking the emulator developers because that's, I think, a lot of work that you know, those people should be thankful for them. The piracy, not so much, but, you know, it means to an end, I guess.
So I think it's interesting. I think it raises an interesting discussion. Nintendo, a company that is very sluggish in letting you access its back catalog, now has one of its current catalog games running at a pretty at a technical specification that's better than what the console provides.
You know, it's like, going to be funny. And I'm going to tell you, I'm calling it right now. Calling it. You're going to see these articles. Get ready. You're going to see the handheld Steam system running these games in in a higher resolution or at least better quality than actually no it's a 720p screen. Okay, not higher resolution quality, but at least you're going to have better graphic fidelity than say a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Or at least you'll be able to plug it into something or something like that. But they'll do the comparison between the Steam handheld console and the Nintendo Switch once it comes out.
All this being said, I want to stress, unlike the Kotaku article, I do want to stress, buy Metroid Dread if you have an interest in it. It's a good game, and Nintendo and the team that made that game did earn your money for that purchase. So you should go buy this game. If you are using these emulators just to pirate things and play things for free, well, then you are the bad people that Twitter is trying to drag right now, okay? So, but, yeah, so buy the game. But I think this side of things where, you know what's interesting? Not just Kotaku ran this article, but PC Gamer ran a very similar thing. Why would PC Gamer run an article about the Nintendo Switch? Because it's just
so it's running on a PC?
That's right. This is all running on a PC. So it's just very interesting how that all is coming together. All right. Anyway.
Well, the other thing, too, I'd say that's more exciting and that's not necessarily talked about yet is all of the modifications that can be done to some of these games in an emulator environment. So like, you know, all the crazy stuff that you see with, you know, Breath of the Wild and stuff like that. That's, I think, more exciting. Hell, if people are very dedicated enough, we could put Waluigi in Smash. It could be a reality because they've done similar things to Melee.
I'm thinking more along the lines of that accessibility issue I called out early in the show.
You make
a good point. That could be fixed through this. And that's a very interesting point to ponder. All right. Is that maybe that's the only way somebody can actually play this game is through an emulator. Now, again, you need to pay the $60, have the cartridge, and run the emulator the way that it's supposed to be run. But it's a very interesting prospect. All right. Moving on. Let's talk more about games that we emulate as we take a trip down memory lane in our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
This is a good one tonight, Dark Sakura. What did you pick?
I picked System Shock, which is a really groundbreaking game, I believe, you know. System Shock was released on September 23rd, 1994. I was in college, and it is a first-person action-adventure game that was developed by Looking Glass Technologies, published by Origin Systems. It is a space station cyberpunk game set in 2072. You play a security hacker, an unnamed, you know, person, and you are trying to stop a AI called Shodan, S-H-O-D-A-N. But it's the big thing about System Shock is that its 3D engine was really, really new and, for the time, really innovative. The physics to it, the gameplay, it was really some of the most influential to be done at its time. And in fact, the developers actually sort of moved from their previous games to push their own envelope with System Shock. They had also done Ultima Underworld, The Stygian Abyss, and Ultima Underworld 2, Labyrinth of Worlds. And they wanted to streamline what they had done to that game, those games, to make things more integrated, to make them work better together. It was a real breakthrough at the time. It was, I would say, moderately successful when it came out, but, Looking Glass did lose money on the project. However, they did proceed with, a sequel and a tertiary release. And there, it actually had some, spiritual successors, including, Deus Ex that came out in 2000, which was, produced and directed by Warren Spector, who was the producer for System Shock. And then, of course, BioShock is also considered a spiritual successor to both of the games. There's actually going to be a remake of System Shock supposedly coming out in this year. Or is it already out? I don't know, by Night Dive Studios. At any rate, you play the game first person, like I said. You're in a 3D environment. You have this multi-level space station that you can explore. You have enemies. You have puzzles. It's non-linear, mostly, that will allow emergent gameplay. You can freely move your cursor around to aim objects. It is a PC game, by the way. You can crouch, you can look up, you can crawl, you've got all kinds of different things. And your HUD has three different multifunction displays that you can configure for different information. You have an auto map, you have your inventory, you can get layouts, weapon readouts, you name it. So you advance the plot by getting log disks and getting your emails. There are no NPCs really in the game, but you do also have the AI in the game that, like, traps and blocks pathways, and you get certain information to keep going through. You also have this sort of cyberspace that you can go through, where you move through weightlessly through these wireframe 3D environments that you can use to collect data to fight the security programs by Shodan It's just really immersive. And then you also get through different, weapons and different tools. You'll get a dart pistol. You'll get a concussion grenades, landmines. And you also get dermal patches and first aid kits to heal yourself. You get hardware like energy shields and head-mounted lanterns and, different things like that. And so basically, the hacker is the hero. So as into the design with this game, it was first conceived during the end of the development for Ultima Underworld 2. So around December 92, January 93, the programmer designer Doug Church was at the Texas headquarters of Origin Systems and working with Looking Glass Technologies for their next project. And so they kind of put this together, wanted it to be an immersive simulation game, but in a fantasy setting. And then they went for the more cyberpunk, kind of almost wanting to make this a spinoff of Wing Commander, but not quite. And so they just put things together. They evolved. They really put things together, and out came this. So with its production, it did require a new engine that could do true 3D graphics. They just, chucked the Ultima engine and coded one from scratch. They used Wacom C++ and 32-bit code. Their new engine could process texture mapping. It could do sloped architecture, light-emitting objects. You could look in any direction. It allowed for improved player physics, including the jumping, crawling, climbing mechanics. They found limitations in their engine so that they could push the envelope for what it was able to do. They did have 3D character models enabled, but they couldn't implement it on their schedule. They had triggered events. It was really something major for its day. The wireframe mechanics were actually, I thought, a really good touch for sort of that floating feeling mm-hmm. that you were moving through a virtual space. Mm-hmm. So the first release of this came out on floppy disks and had no support for spoken dialogue. Later on, that was September 94, a CD-ROM version was released in December 1994 that had full speech for the logs and the emails, the multiple display resolutions, more detailed graphics, and of course it is considered to be the superior version. So they wanted to actually do these like sort of audio vignettes that they... And they really didn't want to do the floppy version. They just wanted the CD one to go out. But they had to get something out for release in September, so that's why it came out with that. It sold over 170,000 copies. It was successful, but not enough to keep Looking Glass afloat as a company, because it had another competitor, Doom. And we know what Doom did. But it got a lot of praise for how technologically advanced it was and how much more complex it was, complicated and complex it was than Doom. And it was considered to be worth the time it took to play the game, to explore it, to go. And there's people, because, when you release a sort of game at the same time and the other one's popular, people will try to find the similarities between them. But this was more elaborate, more complicated. And even some of the reviewers out there said, you have to read the manual before you can actually get into the game, and that it had a higher system requirement with, of course, all those complex controls. For me, I would even more put this a little bit more into the realm of Descent for, later on for things that kind of had that complication. It blended strategy with action. You couldn't just go run and gun it. You had to think about playing it. It was a thinking game.
I was just going to say quickly, it's interesting that you bring up that Doom comparison, because my memory goes, oh, this was one of those mini games that came out because it was, you know, inspired by Doom and everything that was happening in the 3D genre at that time. It's interesting the tricks that memory will play on us. But you're probably very right in that, you know, Doom was something you just, you know, run and gun, pick it up, pew,
they
pew,
were contemporaries.
Pew. There was much more thinking in this game that maybe made it harder to just jump. And that doesn't make it worse or anything. It just made it a little harder to get into. And I think maybe that's why our brains don't equate this from of the exact same era and not one inspired by the other necessarily.
Well, and it was also a lot more graphically complex. I mean, it was the... If you look at it specification, graphic-wise, story-wise, it's the superior game.
Yeah.
And it really did set a lot of things that we take for granted in our games today. Like immersive simulation, the whole emergent gameplay style where as you go, you learn more and new things happen. And I mean, and again, without this, we wouldn't have BioShock. We wouldn't have Deus Ex. We wouldn't have Thief, you know? Of course, there was a sequel. System Shock 2 came out by Looking Glass and Irrational Games in 1999. It really played a lot more on that one. And then, of course, Looking Glass closed. And the rights fell to the Meadowbrook Insurance Group, which is a subsidiary of Star Insurance Company. Huh. And it was then acquired by Night Dive Studios. And they distributed the game and the rights for System Shock at all. And they had a plan to release the source code, but they did a third game in 2015 called System Shock 3. Sorry, I take that back. That was developed by Other Side Entertainment. And yeah, it was not as well received as any of the others. So Night Dive Studios, being that they own the rights to System Shock, are planning on doing... Well, they did System Shock at Enhanced Edition that came out on GOG on September 22nd, 2015 for Windows. The version needed definitely some more improvements to boost up the resolution. It also does include the original version of the game, which is System Shock Classic, with support for Windows OS X and Linux, Mac OS X. It received really positive reviews, but Night Drive Studios wants to do a reimagining of System Shock to come out for Windows, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 using Unreal Engine 4, but there's not really, I think, a whole lot else about that. But Other Side Entertainment also wants to acquire the license to System Shock to improve on System Shock 3 to redevelop it. But the Mac version source code was released by Night Drive Studios on GitHub. And there's also after a month of development, there's a cross-platform source port called Shocklet that has been released for developers. And so there we go. That is the state of the System Shock.
Good pick, Dark Sakura. This is one that, you know, I knew of this game, and I think I even may have played it a little bit, but I think it was one of those games I was probably pretty easily overwhelmed with, because, yeah, that would have been right around the time, too. It would have been, like, either early college or late high school for me, and I probably blew this game off pretty quickly, but it is very interesting how much this brought to the table that wasn't on the table yet, but then kind of became a part of it much later on, if that makes sense. So
no, indeed.
All right. Well, there it is. Classic game of the week is System Shock. All right. Let's get to our next segment and some rapid fire news. Just real quick, housekeeping note. We will be here next week, and next week will be episode number 888, which is a bit of a lucky number there. So that'll be fun. So we will be here next week. We will not be here in 2 weeks live, as I will be out. I'm going to actually be at Disneyland in 2 weeks, so I can't wait. And then 3 weeks is Halloween, so we're still trying to work out the plan. I think I will be on Twitch that night one way or another, because I don't do anything. I mean, I do things for Halloween. I'm actually hosting two shows that weekend, so shout out for local folks. Rocky Horror is almost sold out now, but I think there's like 10 seats left if you want to try and get a general admission ticket. at the Colonial on that Saturday, the 30th. So I have plans Friday. I'm hosting another show, a burlesque variety show that Friday night. Then I'm hosting Rocky that Saturday. So it's weird to be talking about hosting shows again, but hooray. But then Sunday, I'm not doing anything on Halloween. So I will have gotten Halloween out of my system the other two nights. So I'll be here. But Loki, I know you have kids and you might not be able to get out of the show that easy, or, you know, get out of it to do the show that easy. I don't know where Jamie's at, so we'll see. I'll be here on Twitch one way or the other, but we'll see where my co-hosts are. So, all right. If we can't all be here together, we'll try to do a show throughout the week or something. So we have that. Okay. Rapid fire news. Now we can get into it. Loki. You're muted.
I swear I hit the button.
I know. I need a big neon alert. All right. Oh, I didn't realize that. There's a new Doctor Who premiering on 10/31, says Pod Culture. Now I see where y'all got to be. All right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So as we've been kind of getting rumors that this might be coming, we finally got an official announcement that, yes, the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, was it Definitive Edition? I don't even know if there's a subtitle. Yeah, the Definitive Edition is going to be released later this year by Rockstar Games. Yes, Rockstar Games, the infamous company that likes to perpetuate the old Grand Theft Auto games and doesn't make new Grand Theft Auto games anymore. But they're going to have the old ones released again. And am I excited about it? No, because I already have Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, and 3, and San Andreas.
But Loki, these are the definitive editions.
They will have done literally nothing to it, I'm sure. So, that's a thing. Look forward to that, I guess, or something. And then, to make things even more exciting, the Avengers game. You remember that game by Eidos? Well,
I do. I was going to download it, and then it was 190 gigabytes to get that on Game Pass.
Yes,
like,
it's on Game Pass. So, yeah, go check it out if it's on Game Pass. You know, but
cloud gaming, so though. I might try it through the cloud gaming thing. It's on there, too.
So there was a thing that they had done. They did some tweaks to leveling in the game because they thought it was too easy to get to a higher level in the game. And so they had tweaked the leveling to make it harder to level up. And people didn't like that. They're like, what? You know, but they're like, well, it may be confusing and overwhelming to newer players that they're leveling too fast. Well, now, apparently, it comes out that, well, the reason why they probably did that is because they're selling XP boosts now so that you can level up faster. That's right. They're providing a solution at a cost to a problem that they created.
Love
that's
that.
Just your AAA capitalist game mentality. Another reason not to play this game. So,
all right, we'll get to we'll get to Jamie's rapid fire news stories in just a moment. But first, I'm looking at chat for some comments over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. SSJ100 Matt says GTA 6 is never going to live up to the hype whenever it comes out. Do you think that's the first? Do you think Grand Theft Auto 6 can possibly live up to this hype of many years? You do.
Yes.
Okay.
Grand Theft Auto 5 lived up to the hype, and 4 was amazing. So I don't see why not.
Except for the multiplayer.
Well, the multiplayer in 5 is all. It's just, I don't necessarily like the sandbox multiplayer. I liked how 4 had the option. Like, if you want the sandbox multiplayer, you can do that. Or if you want it, you know, specific just levels or whatever to do like a deathmatch, and you could do that. And I liked how you had like options. And they still kind of have that in this, but it's clearly meant to force you to grind for money. Mm-hmm. And they clearly built it in a way to push those shark cards. And unfortunately, based on the revenue that they're making with Grand Theft Auto Online, it's working. And so that's a problem, is once you've given them such an easy source of cash, they're going to keep perpetuating that, unfortunately. And so they're not really motivated to make a new game until they've run this one dry. It's the Activision of, you know, the music game worlds, or anything that they've, you know, Activision touches. Rockstar Games is kind of learning that lesson themselves, where they're just going to milk this until they, you know, trillionaires. And so we won't probably see a Grand Theft Auto 6 until Grand Theft Auto Online and Grand Theft Auto 5's numbers drop. Or maybe they are working on it. Who knows?
Before we get to Jamie's stories, Tiger Claw in chat says, oh, you guys didn't mention about the trailer for Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. It's because I so rarely get into TV shows and Netflix movies and that stuff anymore. It's really sad. I full on meant I sat down on Friday night because I was very bored, and I full on meant to start Squid Game because everybody's talking about Squid Game.
I want to watch that.
Everybody's been talking about it nonstop, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we should watch it together, Jamie.
Let's do it. Oh my God, let's have a live reaction.
I don't think we can do that because we can't show the show. We could just show ourselves. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll show ourselves talking shit about it.
But anyway, here's the thing. No, I meant to watch it, but then you know what happened? Instead, on my suggestion that Leah Remini escaping Scientology thing came up, I watched like 4 episodes of that in a night. It was compelling, God damn it. Anyway, it's so interesting. Anyway. Let's see.
Can I do my stuff now?
Yes, you can do your stuff now.
Okay. So there is going to be an Animal Crossing Direct scheduled on Brewster's birthday, or as he is known in the Japanese version, Maestro. I believe it's either Maestro or Master. I'll have to look it up again. But anyway, it's going to be on the Nintendo YouTube channel on October 15th, and I finally have a reason to play the game again. Because Brewster! I have a rooster plushie, like, somewhere behind me. So, anyway, and you have a catch-up.
I do have a catch-up, and I'm also very excited for this Direct because I want reasons to go back and visit my town because I abandoned them about a year ago.
Well, there's also a new addition to the arcade archives for Namco. The Genji and Heike clan is joining in amongst those. So you will, and for anyone who doesn't know anything about the Genji and Heike clans, it actually is going back from like really old Japanese literature. So, but it's a really beautiful game, and I'm glad to see it in there.
Yeah, it's interesting that this Arcade Archives has gone so deep now. We're really getting into these like underappreciated classics, you know? This is pretty cool. All right.
You know, probably certain games that didn't see a lot of light in the U.S.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some games that are coming out real soon. Loki, we'll start in the U.S. with you.
Yes, we have Back for Blood, which is out on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Disco Elysium, The Final Cut on Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Lone Echo 2 on the Oculus Rift. Aeon Must Die on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Dungeon Encounters on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. The Idolmaster Starlit Season on PC and PlayStation 4. Monarch on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. The Crisis Remastered Trilogy on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, The Hinokami Chronicles on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. The Good Life on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And we've got NHL 22 on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. That is it.
Going to Japan and looking at the releases there. On the Switch, on October 14th, we have Monarch in regular and limited edition coming out of Japan. We have a game called Fight of Animals Arena is coming out as well in Japan. I know this game exists.
That's amazing.
Is it the same name here? Fight of Animals? It's Smash Brothers, but with like really overly caricatured.
I think it is.
Okay. Like,
yeah, it's a, like I don't remember the name of it, but yeah, it's over here.
Okay. It's like a cat, but the cat is like super muscle cat. And like, it's just Smash Brothers with all these animals. There's a whale in it. It looks that you, I don't know if it's the same name.
It's what
here,
Brutal should have been.
I know I've seen this game over here because I was thinking, oh, that would be a fun thing to pick up. But Japan's getting it this week. Earth Defense Force 3 gets its Nintendo Switch release this week over in Japan. And I think that is it for the Switch. So let me quickly take a look at the PlayStation 5 and look at the releases there. If I can ever get down to Sorry, I need an actual mouse for this thing I'm using now. It's the worst to have to use a touchpad. Okay, on the PlayStation 5, we have Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Hinokami Kaputan comes out this week, and that is on the PlayStation 5. And then Monarch is also seeing a PlayStation 5 release this week. That's it. So how about the UK, Dark Soccer?
In the UK, we have, on the 12th, we have Xuanyan Sword 7. That's going to be PlayStation, Xbox. Also, the same day, same systems, Back for Blood. On the 14th, we have The Rift Breaker, same systems. 15th, NHL 22, Crisis Remastered, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba. I got tongue-tied. Kimetsu no Yaiba, The Hinokami Chronicles. We have, also on the 15th, Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town. And then Just Die Already. On a bunch of stuff.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
I will have you know I looked up that animal game. It is also called Fight of Animals here locally.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And actually, it's been out.
I think it's on Steam.
It is. It is on Steam, and it went up on Steam December of 2019. So this game's been out a little while. It's just Japan is getting a Switch release of it this week. So I'm like, I knew I've seen this game around.
I might have to get it on Switch.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to now get back into some news. We're also going to invite your phone calls later in the show, as well as possibly any emails, if we actually got any. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com if you want to be old school and send an email. But
send
now,
an email.
For now, we have a few more stories. Loki.
Yeah, so right now, the Ryoga Gotoku studio, the developer, of course, behind the Yakuza series, are going through a restructure right now. They've had some folks leaving the studio, including the departure of the series creator and game director, Toshio. Let me butcher some Japanese names. Toshihiro Nagoshi. He has left, as well as the former series producer as well, and the creator. So, that's quite a few people leaving. And then, of course, along with this, though, we did get the news that there is going to be a sequel to Yakuza Like a Dragon, which I'm very excited about. And I actually need to finish that game. But, yeah, a little bit of a restructure with some of those big heads of the company leaving. But very excited for the series.
Yeah, looking in chat, SJ and Hunter Matt says, at least they said Like a Dragon 2 is still happening. Maybe I'll beat Like a Dragon 1 by then. Big mood, Matt, because I still have Bobby. Bobby is like hiding in the bushes outside going, you beat Like a Dragon yet? You played Like a Dragon yet? So
I need to finish that.
I do.
That.
No,
It's the one game I own on the Xbox Series X.
I need to be careful because I don't want to pass that point where I can't just pick up where I left off and I have to start all over again. Because you know it be like that with some RPGs. If you let it go for too long, then you're like, where was I at in the story? Fuck it. I'll start from the beginning. Maybe I'll do things different. Maybe I'll know to save 3 million yen this time. So anyway, I need to watch myself and get back into that soon. Maybe, Bobby, maybe. I'm not going to promise, but maybe that'll be a game that I do a stream of next week. We'll see. I'm not going to stream Monday because Jamie's got her thing going on, but maybe one of the other days I stream. I still want to do another playthrough of Dread, so maybe it'll be later in the week, like a Thursday, Friday thing. We'll see. All right. Let's move on and talk about this. Oh, talk about adding games to the backlog. Well, here we go. A long-running rumor on Orange Lounge Radio and really here at all of VOG Network finally coming to fruition this week as we have had the confirmation that a Tron Arcade 1-Up is happening. But that's actually not the leading headline for a lot of sites reporting on this because a lot of people are catching the fact that Ridge Racer is also one of the cabinets that's being released. Loki's asked many times on this program. I think Dark Soccer's asked it too, quite frankly. When are we getting a new Ridge Racer? Well, here's something.
Period. Not new.
It's something. It's not new. Anyway, Arcade 1-Up is doing a Ridge Racer cabinet. It has five games in it. Ridge Racer, Ridge Racer 2, Rave Racer, Ace Driver, and Ace Driver Victory Lap. So that's kind of neat. Also, what's interesting, some of those games have not been on home consoles or even PC. So this is really the first time you can have them in your house, which is kind of awesome. So this is really the only way you can do this and play these games, unless you happen to own the arcade machines. It's especially noted that Rave Racer is kind of a neat entry to be here in this particular list.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Darsakra.
They're not R4.
When do we get the Wangan Midnight Maximum Tune Arcade 1-Up cabinet?
Oh, I wish.
I think those are a little too recent.
They're up to like number 8. I think when I was at round 1 last, I saw Initial D is like on 8 or 9, and Wangan's around the same number. I'm like, oh, I'm so old.
I'll take a Rush.
Then I launched 2DX 28th style, and I was like, back in my day. And then I went onto the local Discord and saw that they were talking about they couldn't play a game because one of the Bamani boomers was hogging the machine. Somebody actually used that term. I don't think they were talking about me, because when I was there, like, nobody else was there. But I fucking laughed my ass off. Dark Soccer Loki, we're Bamani boomers. Did you know that?
At least they have a name for us now.
At least I know how to play Deluxe.
Don't worry. That person got yelled at and said, don't use that term and all that stuff. And so I was like, oh, okay, they're behaving.
I think it's funny.
I think it's funny too, actually. So it's just so funny. It's interesting for me to think there are all these like DDR and Bamani, or at least I know of at least one that's been brought to my attention. I think there might be two. There's podcasts now about that. And they're probably
did it first.
I know. They're probably doing those shows thinking no one's ever done this before. I think it's adorable. You know what? I'm always about going to the next generation and all that stuff. Maybe they will find that same love we did and end up continuing their show 20 years later about all sorts of things. So,
we'll still be doing ours.
All right. Anyway, speaking of things boomers like, we also have Tron. That cabinet is officially happening. Yay. Also, Killer Instinct is also, and I bet there's a lot of people interested in that one too. That is a cabinet that's happening as well. Killer Instinct also comes with Battletoads. So that's like a combo thing, the arcade Battletoads.
That's rare.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Tron pre-orders began October 19th. It also has discs of Tron. Here's the thing. Yes, this has been brought to my attention. Somebody sent me the Target listing. The Target listing was like $700, and I can't spend that right now.
That's like this. You could buy the actual cabinet for that kind of money.
Yeah.
Like an actual cabinet.
Look, I would spoil myself rotten anyway. I like the idea of the whole black light refractive, which I think the original cabinet had. I fully expect when I visit Bobby Blackwolf for Dragon Con 2022 and go to his arcade again, I guess I just invited myself to Bobby's house again, but I fully expect I'll get to play that Tron machine. I know he'll have it in his house. And Bobby is pointing out you cannot buy the actual cabinet, not one that works. Those older machines are getting more expensive. It's because of the TVs in them. They're getting impossible to replace these days.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's happening. Probably 10 years ago when like we were at the auction out in Roseville looking at these cabinets, you're right. I distinctly remember passing up a Burger Time machine for $400. And I could have bought a Burger Time machine that worked for less money than what I ultimately bought.
You just have to get lucky with private sellers. That's how I got my DDR. Yeah. You know, cabinet. You get, you know, someone that just doesn't care. You know, they just want a certain amount of money for it. Like, to them, it's just better to get rid of it at that point. You can get lucky. So
anyway, I have some major financial things that I haven't gotten into detail on the show yet. I will eventually, I promise. But there's just some stuff I have to save up for and make happen. And so $700 out of that, I just don't realistically think it's going to happen, unfortunately. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. If, say, February, those machines are still available and I still have the money, then yes, I'll pick one up. But if they're gone, it's sold out, then I guess it wasn't meant to happen, and I'll just hope that there's a reissue, like they've reissued some of those Namco machines 20 times over. I'm just going to have to cross my fingers and toes for that. After all, a lot of games ran on that Tron hardware. That hardware was the Bally Midway stuff that ran Journey. So that's what I'll hold out hope for, is a Tron / Journey cabinet. Yes, the old band that ended up having a arcade game in the... There's a lot of games on that hardware. Check out those Midway arcade treasures. Tron was never in there because of the Disney thing, but a lot of games ran on that hardware. Bobby's pointing out the TV and the joystick. Tron used a very unique joystick most of the originals.
Expensive.
Yeah, yeah. So the replica will be very nice to have, I think. I think it'll just be nice to have like a newer one. So, all right. Oh, yeah, Dark Tetsuya points out there's problems with the Journey cabinet because Journey's changed their lead singer a couple times now, so it would get complicated.
Do they still have the guy with the pretty hair?
I think his name was Arnell or Artel. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but yes, he's still the guy. That's been
I like
there for
him.
He's been there for almost 10 years now.
We saw him when he was new.
Yeah, no, I know,
when,
I know.
When we went to see Journey.
Yeah, was that the one where Heart opened and the reason why I'll never go back to that
Cheap
arena?
Trick. Cheap Trick opened and
Cheap
then
Trick.
Heart.
We missed Cheap Trick because of the parking, remember?
But we could hear Heart from the parking
we
lot.
We could hear Heart. That pissed me off so much. I'll never go back to that venue. All right.
Yeah, but I think I was like singing with everything that Heart did.
Oh, of course. Of course. Thank you, VXJSNXV. Arnell Pineda. That's his name. Yes.
He's so good.
He's still the guy that's singing. He's great.
And he sounds just like...
Steve Perry?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Dark Sakura.
So this is something that actually I think is very important to me in particular. But there is a group called Able Gamers that have put out some, you know, criticized different companies for their lack of accessibility options. And so now... there is an attempt to try to help disabled gamers find games that they can play. There's a nonprofit organization called Dagger System that created the Accessible Games Database. So in a nutshell, it includes right now 144 games with their accessibility options, including Last of Us Part 2, Control, Cyberpunk 2077, Tetris 99. People can search by publisher, genre, and platform, and you can filter for auditory, visual, and motor features. So it has like other different subcategories, but I think it's really neat. The filters aren't final. It's still a little bit in development, but I think it'll be really useful to have something like this for gamers who have limitations in playing.
This is great. This is one of those things where I'm kind of surprised it didn't exist already. And maybe it kind of did in like Google documents that were circulating around and things like that. But I think it's nice that we have like a very comprehensive site. Jaskrin in our chat says, Able Gamers. Hell yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. Hell yeah. I think that's still the charity I have set on my Amazon right now. So, I'm glad to see they're involved with such awesome projects still. I mean, I know they show up at a lot of conventions. They do a lot of consulting. And things of that nature. So good on them. Pats on the back. Job well done.
Yep.
You're doing good, son. The Bomani Boomer says you're doing good, son. You're making me proud. All right.
Jeez.
All right. Then let's move on. Loki.
Yep. So this is kind of exciting. I mean, we kind of figured this would happen with any new game that comes out, but... people have been data mining Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl and found files there hinting at the new future characters that may be coming in DLC. So some of the things that I thought were kind of funny is they had a character. There was a bunch of files for Cheese. And, of course, that has to do with Shredder, which I thought was pretty funny. Some other stuff, you know, we had references to Mr. Krabs, Squidward, Plankton, Tommy Pickles, Jimmy Neutron, and Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life also listed in there. They said that, the actual community manager for the game, Thaddeus Cruz, said that some of the leaks, you know, or some of the concerns that they had with these types of leaks is that it doesn't necessarily mean that the content was removed. It could have been stuff that they were considering, just didn't end up putting in the game. You know, they said it wasn't removed. This is voice lines in the project, a covered cover bases, and are not to be the end or be all end all confirmations of what can and cannot happen. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what DLC they're going to have for this game. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to admit, even though I shaded the game a little bit earlier in the show, I've just
one I missed here. They also had a reference to a Garfield stage.
Oh God. Ugh. Is it made of lasagna? I honestly haven't played the game. I've just been hearing things about the game, and I did watch one of a streamer you like too, Dark Sakura, Lappin, the guy up in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
He was playing this Nickelodeon game, and I was kind of looking at it.
I missed it.
Yeah, it was late one night. But anyway, I did kind of, when I was watching him play it, I was kind of like, this does feel a little bit like just in the setup and the menus and everything, like this is very like bare bones, like knockoff Smash Brothers. But then when they got into the fight and everything, it looked like it was cute, but it did look, I've heard it's a little bit sluggish and it feels like it is a copy of Smash Brothers and not the real thing, if that makes sense. So yeah. But you know what? I think the reason why people are still enjoying it, and I think it will show up in competitive events, and I think they'll probably continue to improve it. The roster is strong, and a lot of, you know, what you just kind of added to that. Even me, Boomer, can go in and look, and I'm like, oh, I recognize Ren, Stimpy, Invader Zim, Powdered Toast Man. Like, there was a lot of characters. So I was like, okay, even my old ass knows these characters. So there were some I didn't know, but there were quite a few I did. I was like, oh, April O'Neil, I know her, she, you know, and that whole thing. So
yeah, it's the 80s Ninja Turtles too.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's what's the one people remember, Loki? That's the thing. If April O'Neil isn't wearing that bright ass yellow pantsuit, then is it really April O'Neil?
It's not.
It's not. My favorite April O'Neil is the one on the side of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade cabinet. Take a really good look at that fake ass fucking wig she's wearing. Next time you walk by a 90s Ninja Turtle arcade cabinet, take a real good look at April O'Neil on there. That she walked right out of Party City's clearance aisle, okay? And what a queen.
Oh Lord.
What a queen. All right.
And oh my God! Well, she kind of resembles the movie April O'Neil, sort of.
Yeah, no, she does. She does.
But not her hair.
Deja Rama S says it may be a fake wig, but the model is hella cute. I'm not shading her whatsoever. She's iconic. Okay, that is actually a compliment. But let's not kid ourselves. She's iconic because she's wearing a 99-cent piece of vinyl very well. Okay, it's like, and I don't mean that in a like weird stalkery way. I just mean she's a queen. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on.
She wears it well.
Yes, she wears it well. Boop boop doop. Okay. Moving on. Are multiple people linking that in chat? That must be what it is now. I appreciate you, chatters. Moving on. There was an update to World of Warcraft. They've been kind of going back through that game with a fine-tooth comb and clearing out some of the oofs. Things, you know, World of Warcraft is an old-ass game at this point, right? It's like 15 years old at this point, right?
Yeah.
You've done an expansion as the classic game of the week. The game itself is over 15 years at this point. So there's some things in there that don't read very well in this day and age, especially with the lens that Blizzard is under right now. So there were some things that were removed. So sometimes some characters that had a lot of dialogue before do not have as much dialogue now. Oh, this is the stuff you remember. Okay, you remember when you would click them and they would say things? So like the Tauren male used to say, homogenized? No way. I like the ladies. Now, look, I'm gay. I look at that and I just go, I'm not offended by that joke. I just think it's stupid, but okay.
It is kind of stupid.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. It's stupid, but there's a lot of stupid stuff in video games, whatever. But I also understand why now in the year 2021, with everything, you know, that we're looking at, especially it's going on Blizzard. I understand why they made an editorial choice to say, you know what, I'm going to get that joke on out of there. I don't know. Maybe they should have taken the time to get a new line, but maybe some of these same voice actors aren't available or anything like that anymore. I'm not sure. Mm. Anyway, there's some other ones that are, yeah, like the orc female says, what's estrogen? Can you eat it? That is no longer there either. That one's a bit of a yike, a little bit. The blood elf demon hunter used to say, are you sure you're not part demon? I find myself wanting to stalk you. That's an oof. So there's you definitely look at a lot of these things they removed and you go.
Or the mount, riding the mount.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of these things that you look at and you go, oof, didn't age well. So there it goes. Now, of course, some of your, you know, people that didn't even probably realize these jokes were there, of course, are getting outraged over it because, you know, my censorship, my video game, you know what? There's been a lot that's changed in World of Warcraft over the years. In fact, so much has changed, I don't play it anymore. But it has nothing to do with the dialogue. It has to do with the other choices made in the game as to how it plays. So I appreciate that they are modernizing the dialogue like they are attempting to modernize everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of choices, let's also talk about a related story, also known as that time that Nintendo was horny. This is specifically Nintendo of France. They decided to tweet an image this last weekend of Metal Gear Solid Snake looking at Samus in the Zero Mission suit. It's very clearly a screenshot that was taken in Super Smash. But the way it looks like Metal Solid Snake is just straight up staring at Samus's ass. And then they deleted the tweet. I think they tweeted it with the eyes emoji. I want to say, what did they tweet it with? Where was it? I'm trying to look at the original tweet here. My screen must be too small. Oh, yeah. That's what it was, just the eyes emoji. That's all they tweeted, you know? So that's what I tweet. You know, people are horny on Twitter all the time, right? People, Loki, I know you've been.
Twitter is a thirsty spot.
I know you've been a victim of being attacked by horny Twitter when you weren't ready for it, right? So sometimes these tweets will get in your timeline. It's, oh, somebody's horny on Maine. Once in a while, I might indulge or respond, so I'm sorry. But I will usually respond with said eyes emoji. It's the perfect response to those sorts of tweets. That's it. But anyway.
We just need a trombone icon.
It was deleted. It was nuked into orbit. I'm assuming at the rest of Nintendo outside of France, they probably had a hard time seeing the humor in that. Anyway, let's see. DJ Rama S says it's always an intern, probably. Zen Monkey says probably was an intern. Probably. I don't know if it was necessarily an intern, but it was just probably somebody on social media that was like, this will go viral, and didn't stop to think about, is that good, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Should it go viral?
Should it go viral? Excellent question. All right, I think we're up to the part of the show that is the listener roundtable, where we're going to invite your calls and so forth. You can call in via our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. You guys, we already have a caller in Discord ready to go. So what do you say we get to it? Let's invite somebody else on the show here. Sound good?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. And we're going to bring them in and say hello and hi. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It is he who requires more than 20 seconds to talk about things tonight.
Hey, Jason, how are you doing? Sorry, I'm trying to find the right screenshot there. There we go. Hi, Jason, how are you?
I am doing okay.
Okay. All right, well, okay is better than crappy, so we'll take it.
Yeah.
I hope things get even better for you tomorrow.
Exactly.
How,
well, it is a Monday, so there's no guarantees about that.
We'll do our best.
I want to talk about Facebook. Actually, I don't want to, but I'm going to.
Okay. I was like, can we not? But okay. If under that context, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. The whole social network thing, the whole social network subject is really difficult. And before I say anything else, I think the important thing for me to say outright is I agree with all of the points that all of you make. I am in favor of Facebook being broken up. I am in favor of Facebook being less of the, you know, the predominant town square than it is. there's just kind of a a way that Facebook is talked about. I think it's something that's not ever going to change. Like some business always has the ire of everyone. It's the it's the Goliath problem. There's always going to be someone there. And the arguments, the way that people talk about Facebook as if they are the, God, I can't find the right word, because catalyst is probably correct. Instigator is possibly correct in this context. Like there is always a social demon, because the problem is not the service. The problem is not the medium. The problem is the people. To a majority extent, like it's not Facebook did not get the flat earthers together, but it does provide a place for conversation for them and outreach and marketing and viral blah blah blah.
They made it really easy.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. However, right. The one thing that is applicable that is problematic with Facebook is basically everything that came out of 60 Minutes is, as far as I'm aware, is a complete outsider, completely true. And this isn't even the first time we've heard these kinds of things. So quick summary, 60 Minutes was the whistleblower whose name, the lady's name, I've already forgotten because it's foreign and just doesn't fit in my brain very well.
It's fine.
Foreign sounding, of course. She talked about how the civil ethics and civil research group within Facebook came to the conclusion that Instagram in particular, was bad for especially teenage girls' self-image, self-confidence, self-worth, etc. I remember an article 4 or 5 years ago or somewhere around there that talked about a group within Facebook knowingly enacted a social experiment on users with no consultation. In the era of the algorithm, they knowingly featured negative toned sounding posts into the preference of the individual's feed to see if it influenced the things that they then posted. So I was not a Facebook fan. I had my grievances for Facebook from the outset. I, like most other people, use it because as the predominant social network, I exactly as like Jamie said, I used it to keep in touch with people. A couple years ago, I think it was 2018 that I nuked all my social networking because like the amount that it was worth anything was not worth it. So I stepped out of Facebook entirely.
I know you've still got points to make, but I just want to say, because something, I had a click aha moment when you're talking about the body image things and some of the things that this targeted. You know what's interesting? I mean, I know he said it very tongue in cheek early in the show, but when Loki was talking about why does he always see all these underwear ads on Facebook? I mean, in a way, if you think about it, a lot of those ads we don't talk about male body positivity and all this stuff enough in our society, but there definitely is something about, you look at a lot of those models and it's like, I'm never going to look like that. So in a weird way, even you and I, Loki, Dark Sakura, all of us as adults get faced with a lot of that body positive imagey stuff.
Well, yeah, all of the, they also like advertise me a ton of shirts that are supposed to make you look more slimmer and pants that make you look slimmer. It's like, who you call me this fat?
Jason, it was just an interesting aha moment I wanted to call out there. That even though, yes, when we talk about kids, we get even angrier because kids are innocent and so forth. But it is very interesting when you really stop and think about it. Everybody's being targeted with that stuff. Everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because the problem is social. So there's this thing that I've been saying at work as I've developed a lot more of my kind of like mentor leaning and whatnot. Technology does not fix social problems. And when I think about a lot of the prescriptive ways that things can be done of things that could be done to Facebook, a la breaking them up, like at a high level, that's really important. But how do you prescribe functional social behavior, both on the enabler, the public space, little p public space, versus like put the details on the people. It's the same problem with freedom of speech and so many other things. Like social problems are evergreen. Social problems will exist forever because they are people. Mm-hmm. They'll be made worse. They'll be made better. Like everything's going to go around, but it's just kind of like it's piling on the big dog situation that just kind of bums me out every once in a while to hear from anybody all of these opinions, you know, not singling out this show whatsoever, because I late night and anybody else that rails about Facebook on Facebook, which is their prerogative to do. It's just a really difficult subject because social interaction is imperfect and you don't need any catalyst for that.
Sure. But the thing, okay, so here's the thing. I'm looking at a comment in chat from Square Tangle that says, bring back GeoCities, bring back LiveJournal, bring back Zonga. Hell yeah, because I was such a fan of LiveJournal. I wouldn't say I met Dark Soccer and Loki through LiveJournal or you, Jason, but our friendships were all strengthened through LiveJournal. We probably actually met on DDR Freak, but
it's still there, just highly Russian.
I did meet my husband on LiveJournal. Those were the days. However, LiveJournal wasn't so easy to get on and use. You know, you still had to be a little bit of a nerd somewhat to be able to use LiveJournal. LiveJournal never really cracked the mainstream like that. LiveJournal never really had a functional mobile phone app. Yes, I know there was a functional mobile phone app, so y'all know what I mean. Facebook hit that perfect storm, and I think we've all been wondering, when's Facebook going to get replaced? Because I lived through LiveJournal, I lived through Zonga, I lived through Friendster, I lived through MySpace, blah, 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 all of it. But yet, we wait for Facebook to go away, and it never does, because it hit that perfect storm of coming out when all the mobile phone stuff came out and all of that. Here's the
LiveJournal.
Thing.
Go ahead.
Facebook hit that perfect storm. I do agree with you that it's like, you know, yes, Facebook does reflect a lot of society's problems. But where Facebook has a real problem, and Twitter has a real problem, there are artificialities being injected into normal people conversations that shouldn't be there. But they're artificially being pushed. And we know that through the whole, you know, Cambridge Analytica stuff that came up a couple years ago out of Facebook through the advertising. And now we know this too. We know that Facebook is promoting content with the body positivity and all this stuff. Facebook thrives on this controversial content. Our conversations face to face might get heated, might get animated. They don't go to that place of straight up bullshit, unfounded bullshit, usually. Now when they do, we think, well, yeah, sure, I have a lot of conversations with family members that are bullshit because they're reading it on Facebook, because you don't have to be a real person to post on Facebook.
Nope.
It's become that easy to use, and that's the problem. Like I know I'm sounding like one of those crazy conspiracy. I sound like the Art Bell Show right now. That's fine. I'll accept that. But the problem is, foreign influencers have infiltrated Facebook, period. And Facebook is not doing enough about it. And they're stirring the pot with all of this stuff because they can. I'm gonna go there, whatever, I live there.
You all have this, a timeshare.
All this vaccination misinformation and all this bullshit that's going on Facebook that is proactively encouraging people to not take the vaccine and die as a result. That is the result of foreign influence and people wanting to take down America a few pegs.
I can counterpoint you with that very easily.
Sure.
Jenny McCarthy a decade ago.
But even Jenny,
this isn't new. This isn't new. Vaccine misinformation and denial. This isn't any bit new. It's just lethal now.
Even her was amplified by Facebook, though. Facebook's been around that long. Where I also associate a lot of. Here's the thing. Yes, you're right. Jenny McCarthy and all that, you know, bullshit and that from that years ago. Yes, absolutely. I'm with you there. That did exist. But again, Facebook amplified it. Because, and you know, I bet there were many people out there that had no idea who that woman was until Facebook started amplifying the message and people started sharing that on the social media. And we had those clickbait headlines that brought that stuff up to the forefront. And I even want to say, I could be wrong, but I feel like I've seen before Jenny McCarthy even saying, You know, I wish I wasn't the poster person for this anymore. I think I'm getting taken out of context a lot and stuff like this. She said things like that, but it doesn't matter because the narrative's already been written on social media. Like, I think that's kind of like where it is for me, is that you're right. Her perspective and her silly. And I'll give you this too, like the flat earth and all that stuff. The concept of flat earth, that's been around
a long
time.
That at least doesn't hurt anybody.
That's also kind of true. The flat earth thing is just something we can all laugh at.
You're believing that is not going to make you like die.
You say it doesn't hurt anybody, but it killed Rocket Man. So
all right.
There's at least one.
All right. I'll give you that. And I'm not suddenly saying like, but again, the Facebook and those types of platforms have made it easier for those people to find each other because it's so easy to get on Facebook. And Facebook actively recruits you at a young age.
Yeah, it's not so easy to build a rocket ship, so, you know.
I am going to say that there is no force as dangerous on Earth as belief.
Anyway, so Jason, I do think you make valid points. I appreciate your perspective for sure. I think there is a Venn diagram of what you're saying and what I'm saying, and there is a very, very large overlap.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like we're in the what we want to see. We are, you know, 90% overlap, and we just kind of like kick out at the edges, and that's what we're talking about because that's what conversation is. We don't when two people are talking, they don't vehemently agree with each other. No, you're exactly correct, and this is why you're correct. So, you know, it's social process. It's just it's just a lot of goings on. Yeah, I had my fallout with a anti-vax individual. I've had my political fallouts in particular, only increasing as society, you know, as societal events happen and all that kind of stuff. I wish things were discussed differently. I couldn't tell you exactly how that is. This is the simplification and conversation effect. We rail against the echo chamber, but there is a general mentality mindset of this channel, and we have our own echo chamber. It's all about scale. Everything is different at the high scale. Everything is different when every party is involved, you know, and nobody is happy. I'm not saying anybody is wrong. I'm saying events happen. Facebook is right to be demonized to the extent that they have a hand in it. That's very hard to prescribe, and when you're making a counterpoint, you don't say, well, I'll say 20% of the good things I like about you and the 80% that I disagree with. It doesn't work that way. I get it. Just kind of wanted to, like I said, throw more than 15, 20 seconds out there.
Fifth Dream in chat says, I love this response, you're exactly right, you son of a wonderful lady.
I hope your family is healthy for the knowledge that you imparted now.
I hope you all have a great day. Here's the thing. Here it is at the end of the day. Go ahead.
That's just a very moonlighting thing to say.
Here's the thing. I don't criticize anyone for using Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I post on Facebook. I would encourage everyone who's on social media to do this. Stop letting social media manipulate you. If you're about to get on a comment and type, fuck you, you fucking fuck, stop and ask yourself, am I being manipulated to have this reaction? Is there something about this that is manipulating this conflict to happen? Because if you really stop and kind of choose those types of responses appropriately, I think you might have an awakening as to what social media is really trying to invoke out of you. But you know what? If you're using Facebook to post pictures of the cat and what you're having for lunch, cool. I love that stuff.
Hide the post and move on. Don't feed the monster. Don't feed the engagement machine.
Yeah.
Seek out what you do want and not what you don't.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf says, on the other hand, please let VOG influence you.
You know, I just post stuff about streaming and Dead by Daylight and Transformers fan art.
It's funny you say that because Mike Def says, is Twitch the same though? In some ways, yes. When I say any social media, I include Twitch in that. Ask yourself, am I being manipulated right now to have a particular reaction to something? Because I can always choose to not respond.
Any service that puts something on you because we think you'll like it. Not that, you know, not that decisions happen in a void. It's all very complicated. This is a, this is an incredibly complicated topic and never, never solved because people are people.
I know.
And we will continue this process into eternity. And once we stop, somebody else takes it up because that's how it works.
Look forward to our future spinoff show, Orange Lounge Art Bellio. All right. Anyway, thank you, Jason. It was a lovely call, and it's always good to hear from you. And thanks for everything. Thanks for everything you do. Those of you out there may not realize how much Jason does for Orange Lounge Radio. Yes, he does the voiceovers. Jason just saved me 2 minutes a week in pre-production today with a very simple thought, a behind-the-scenes thing, and how we transfer some of the intro files and all that stuff. And it's one of those things where, like, when you say it, it's like, why didn't we think of this very obvious thing before? And now it's like, oh, and I just, I don't know if you saw the tweet I wrote, but I was like, it just goes to show you can be doing something for 19 years and there's still ways to do it better.
Yeah. We've been doing this particular process for what, 2 years and change now?
And I've
now saved you an hour every year.
It's not to say it was bad or it was wrong. It got the job done. But now, you know, those 2 minutes a week that you're right, they'll add I will save an hour a year. That is an hour that I can spend looking at pornography. So thank you, Jason. I thank you.
Also readily available on every corner of the internet. Just seek out what you want, not what people try
but
to get
back. They don't advertise to me on Facebook.
All right, Jason, my friend, take care, buddy. Have a good night, okay?
Orange Lounge Radio people, you're wonderful, and I thank you for listening, because you're wonderful.
You son of a nice lady. Thank you for being here.
How dare you be so cool?
All right. Take care, buddy. Love to hear from him. We have another call. Let's get to it. We got calls tonight. I love it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Ranma.
Now, I cannot hear anybody.
We can hear you. Okay, he's got his hand. He's frustrated because he can't hear us. But we can hear him. He's got to go to his Discord audio settings.
I cannot hear anybody.
Right output.
What the heck is going on here?
we're going to just listen to a moment while DJ Rama S has a inner monologue. We could also play a joke and just not say anything. I think it's still broken.
We could.
How do I explain due to the unfreezing process that I don't have an internal monologue?
Rama just said in chat, damn it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm out.
Sad.
That's okay. The depression is... Well, I hope whatever... DJ Rama S, you nice person. How dare you contribute to our program? All right. Hopefully it'll get fixed for next time. Hey, let's check in. So I think I heard you say earlier, Dark Soccer, there was no email, but I'll check in. Okay. I love that. Jason with a good point there. If you want his opinions, listen to Anime Jam Session. Very good. Love that plug. Love it, love it. Let's talk about last-minute stories. Loki, I don't know if you have anything you want to share with us tonight.
Yes, the saga continues.
Now
the
what?
The saga being the Intellivision saga. So now
they sent me an email today and I ignored it. What happened?
So today they announced that even though the system isn't out yet, they are going to be selling the physical versions of the game, or at least some of the games that you can purchase now, for limited time bundles ranging from $80 to $150 with, I think it was like 4 or 8 copies of the games. I don't know if you can purchase these individually, but if you buy all 8, it's $150. And what you get in those physical versions is basically like a manual, like a little card that's a lenticular card. You get a collector coin and also the game itself, which is an RFID card. But the thing that's unique about it, and just it's buzzwords being thrown at, but apparently the card itself is like, it's like an NFT almost, where in the sense that it's a digital copy of the game, because there's really no physical games you can plug into the console. So when you scan it into your system, it basically ties that game to your system. But because of blockchain, you're then also able to later sell that copy to somebody else, another Amico owner, and then you can transfer that game using the blockchain and NFTs or something like that.
Interesting.
It's a neat way around the whole digital thing, but at the same time, you're buying games for a console that's not out yet.
Well, and Bobby does make a good point, and this actually escaped me. I did not realize today is 10/10/2021. This is the third release date of the Intellivision Amico. But I'm not going to shade them for missing the release dates. Like, there are other things that, you know, have been discussed. But as far as the release dates go, look, you still can't walk into a Target and get a PlayStation 5. You know, cars are hard. The chip shortage and all that stuff, it's real, and it's affecting everything. So I'm not going to shade Intellivision on that point. They've had to delay for several times now, so it is what it is. So that was a little thing they put out on this third release date Target that they've had to miss due to a fault that is legitimate, I think.
Yeah. I'm still wary. Like, I'll wait for this whole console to be released and come out and see the reviews and look at the games and stuff like that. I mean, you know, just... I just don't... Not, no fault to Tommy here, but, like, NFTs right now are kind of a... It's just kind of a really shady gray area. There's a lot of... The intent with NFTs is to be able to pay, like, artists for some of these digital works, but there's a lot of people, celebrities and influencers, exploiting this process to a really obscene degree. And so it's just kind of has a real negative connotation to it right now. And just to throw this in here, and I get it, the whole, it's not really an NFT, it's just more of like a way to be able to transfer ownership of a digital product, which is,
I like the way Bobby put it. It's only an NFT if it's from the nifty region of France, otherwise it's a sparkling blockchain. Yes. It's a, you know what though, I
that's excellent.
This is one of the better uses I've heard of it compared to a lot of weird shit out there. Like, did you hear the Dark Sakura, not to keep shifting the conversation back to Dead by Daylight, but did you hear the whole thing about why those voice lines from Dead by Daylight for Pinhead got removed? Because they wanted to do more stuff by like selling NFTs of that to enable it. Yeah, it was really wild shit. Like, and I hope that was somebody's fan stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around MMR, so whatever.
All right, anyway. Sorry, Loki. I don't know if you had a further point with that.
No, that's about it. So, yeah, right now you can buy the physical versions of 8 different games. They have 2 packs of 4, or you can buy a pack of 8. No.
All right.
I'm not going to be...
We're going to go back to...
To be fair, though, the box art's really nice. I do really like the boxes for them. Just no.
All right, we're going to try this again because we actually had a call screener help and get all his troubles sorted. So let's try to welcome back to the program, Rama.
There is one thing I have told people. Never skimp out on your hardware. And that's what I did. I did not heed my own advice.
All right. Well, what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
All right. First, I just want to say your comment about Facebook and so forth about engaging people. I'll make this very quick. That's part of the reason why I am in there. I talk to my therapist about stuff like that. Because let's just say I just came off of another ban because somebody made a comment about COVID and I called them out and I got put in Facebook state penitentiary
you
for 30 days.
You are a repeat jail.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am. Yes,
you have
I
a
am.
Frequent flyer stamp card for the Facebook jail, Rama.
I have like the little awards, like the little medals that they have, you know, when you're in the military, that, you know.
But I do find it ridiculous you get sent to Facebook jail and then there's all this other, but I'm exhausted on that point, so I'm just going to defer to you.
Exactly. Thank you. But I didn't call in about that. I just want to talk about this whole Twitch thing real quick because, you know, I just find this thing absolutely hilarious. People losing their minds about these Twitch creators making so much money. Why are you mad that Twitch creators are making $1 million? You made them rich. You threw them their money. You did all of this. I just sat there and watched you do it. But now you find out they're pulling $1.5 million every month, something, and you want to be salty about that?
You
want
$1.5 million? Are you ready?
Hold on,
because item number 2 will shock you. You ready?
Yeah.
that's not all of the money they're making either, because there are sponsorship deals that many of them have, and will do sponsored content and will use certain equipment. And we'll enjoy, so guess what? They're making more than that list that came out.
And it gets to like that. You know, what's funny is the larger a creator you become, so the more money that you're making, and really you don't need any of the free handouts, the more free handouts you get. So it's a nice problem to have, I guess.
And then guess what? By putting out all this outrage about how you're so mad that so-and-so is making a lot of money, you are continuing to put their name out there. It's like that one YouTuber that constantly, and I don't care what his name is. You all know I'm that one YouTuber that's always constantly doing stupid shit that always shows up because he's doing stupid shit. Honestly, I could probably be describing three different people, probably more.
You're describing lots of people.
Anyway, go ahead, Rom. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. This is one reason why I don't follow like the top 1%. I like the squad of people that I roll with, okay? I hang out with Twitch streamers between 1 and 100. That I'm good with that. But the main thing that had me rolling was the fans getting upset about how much money Critical Role was bringing in and getting upset about that. Hold up. You have to understand, at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of voice actors could not go into the studio. So they weren't making any money. They're on Twitch doing things. Thank God for Steve Bloom, who came up with a great idea for Critical Role. Not Steve Bloom, Matt Mercer. He came up with this great idea. Voice acting friends putting it together, and they're selling merch. They got sponsorships and everything. But also, this is paying for their livelihood, and it's also paying for the equipment that they're doing to make this show.
It's okay? Not cheap.
Exactly. When I got my first quarterly dividend, you know, from Twitch streaming, I'll straight up say it. It's about $120, okay? That's paid for my web hosting, my domains, and everything for a year. And I'm good. Even if I didn't get that much, I'm like, okay. I'm so used to paying for stuff out of pocket because I do this for the fun of it, okay? Hear it again. The fun of it. Most of these Twitch streamers are doing this for the fun of it, and they're giving back, and they're doing this and doing that. The ones you got to look out for are the ones that are just in it for the money and don't give a damn about you. So if you're going to get upset about this one Twitch streamer making 2.5, guess what, my friend? They don't give a damn about you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm leaving the show and just turning it over to Rama, because that part, that please go back and watch the video on demand of this part of the show. Just that's all I'm going to say to you, Rama. Like, yes, like it is. Bobby, I know you're there. How much are the legal Zoom fees for Vogue Network for a year? Can you let me know that? Because that is money that we're not paying out of pocket anymore. I know some of you are very sad that we left Shoutcast, but I can't tell you how nice it is that we're not paying, what was it? Was it $120 every 3 months or something like that to run that thing? I don't know. It's been a while now. We don't have to pay that out of pocket anymore. And you guys are able to fund this through biddies and subs and all that. Okay, thank you. Bobby says it is taxes and LegalZoom comes to $600 to $700 a year. The good news is your biddy and sub money means that Bobby Blackwolf, Rob Roberts, and the rest of the company here at Vogue Network are not paying that out of pocket. Thank you. Thank you for legitimizing what we do so that when we want to do things like sponsor cons and you know, do those types of, we can do that. So, you know, no, I'm not making $1 million or anything like that, but we're able to do this fun thing for free. And it's cool. It's because of you guys. Thank you. You know, there's some people on that list, like earlier in this, I don't think I necessarily want to dodge people just because they're popular. I name checked Pokimane earlier. I think she's great. I think she's, you know, and she's got a lot of great perspective on things. Now watch, I'm going to say that and somebody's going to find the cancelable statement. But as far as I know, she's great and she's a positive influence on Twitch and all that stuff. I'm happy for her, you know, and again, like, if y'all are mad that these entertainers are making millions of dollars, wait until I tell you what actors and actresses make. But in the big Hollywoods, but you know what? For every ScarJo, for every Chris Pratt, for any of those A-listers, there are people working at theaters, improv troupes, community-related stuff. We've all heard the stories about waiting tables, trying out for reality shows, and people
it's
that
there
are
for a reason.
People that are trying to push that dream, that are just having a problem breaking through that barrier. So now I think the only problem we need to address as a society, and you're seeing it happen in Hollywood slowly, but it's happening, and you're going to see it soon on Twitch, is going to be about, now, why doesn't the high-paid actors and actresses reflect the actual population makeup of this country? And that's now, I think, the harsh reality a lot of us are looking at with Twitch, is now here is the proof that at this time only a certain group is widely successful on this platform. So that is that, but that is an issue much larger than our little, you know, bottom 99% show we have here on Twitch. She-Hulk 10 is suggesting OLR in a hot tub equals big money. Do not tempt me, because
I want a hot tub to be in.
Grandpa Warcraft from Horde House has a hot tub and has offered to do a hot tub stream. So look out. You might get it.
Rob, I'm telling you this right now. If this is confirmed, I'm getting my best masks. I'm getting a round trip ticket. I will show up as James Brown, and we can recreate that Saturday Night Live James Brown hot tub party, okay? We can do that.
I just want you and Grandpa to hang out IRL, because I think the two of you would just keep me laughing all fucking night. Like, I wouldn't even have to drink. Amazing.
Trust me, you will be drinking. I'm a just saying.
I just want a hot tub.
We can make it happen. I love how I'm volunteering, but I could call him live right now and I'd be like, hey, we're coming up there next weekend for a hot tub party. He'd just be like, cool.
Actually, one of my good friends who you've seen in my channel, I'm sure, Amethyst Rose Witch, she's shown up in here too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I go use her hot tub.
Good times.
And bring a webcam.
Good times. All right, we're hitting the 3-hour mark. I got to wrap up the show. We're at 9 o'clock.
People got shit to do.
Yeah, I was like, Dark Soccer, are you streaming tonight?
I am.
Okay, well then she probably wants to get started, and I got to edit the show. So, Rama, thank you for being here. Any quick other comment you want to get out before we let you go?
The whole Twitch thing. One thing to say about that: a quote by one of the greatest wrestlers out there, Booker T. Don't hate the player, hate the game. That's all it is. And on that note,
but the player's got to play the game.
True.
It's a choice.
True. There you go. That's exactly what it is. And on that note, I will see you all next time.
Take care, Rama. Stay awesome. All right.
You too.
All right. I think we're ready to wrap things up. I will check in real quick. Sorry, guys. I know how about that? The scene that shows chat actually works. When I was testing it didn't work. How about that? Cool. There they are. Hi, chatters. How you doing? All right. Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up here at the end of the day here at the Voice Geeks Network. Quickly, any other last-minute thoughts to put out there? Last-minute stories, Loki, before I wrap it up.
Not too much. Just it's the anniversary of ScumVM.
Oh, wow. 20 years. Yeah, I know, right? That's been out a while. Yeah.
So there's that, but that's about it.
All right. I think we're going to go around and get everybody's final thoughts and wrap it up for the night. I want to thank you very much for downloading our show this week and listening to us, whether you were here live, downloading the video streaming, or you download our podcast feed on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find great podcasts. Thank you so much for checking out our show this week. If you enjoyed what you heard, tell a friend or two. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices in here, just like the voices of our awesome callers we had tonight. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Rama, for calling in tonight. And then thank you, Jason, for helping Rama to get his call on tonight. So thank you, everybody. We'll hopefully hear from some more people in coming weeks. Next week is episode 888, so it should be a lucky show. We'll check that out next week on October the 17th. In the meantime, that's about it. Let me plug the shop, vognetwork.com/shop. If you want to check out a shirt related to the show or Vogue Network or our pal Bobby, whatever it is, check out some of the merch there in the shop that is available there. And yeah. I think that's all I have to say. I think we're ready to wrap up. So let's get the actual final thoughts. Dark Soccer, I'll start with you because I know you want to head out and start setting up. And good luck tomorrow. I really do wish you success.
Thank you.
I hope you're able to. Even if you only raise 1,000, it's still 1,000 that wasn't there before. So congrats.
It's 1,000 that wasn't there before.
Exactly.
But
every
dollar really counts. I would really like it, though, if y'all would find a way to encourage me to do a real-life SWIF. Other than a kill your friends or survive with friends match.
You'll get there.
You know what I mean, though? Like a custom match.
Oh, yeah. Is that your final thought?
Be sure to get your neighbors spayed and neutered. Wait.
Well said.
Your neighborhood animals spayed and neutered.
No, I like the way you put it the first time. All right. Have a good night, Jamie. Good luck.
Lates.
All right. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is exciting news coming out this week because we've got the Minecraft Live on Saturday.
Oh,
so I'm very
yeah.
excited about that. Yeah. So we'll talk about that next week.
And my final thought is my shirt I've been wearing all night, Cruel Intentions. Great 90s movie. Great 90s movie. This is a cult classic right here. Watch this if you've never seen this before. It's a lot of big dumb fun. And thanks everybody who's been contributing to Orange Lounge Foodio. I see those totals raising in chat. We're gonna end up doing that in about 3 weeks, but I'm excited. Thanks again, you guys. This is a really fun show tonight, and we'll see you guys back here next week. Stay tuned to Discord for information on when Bobby Blackwolf will be returning. That is all over at vognetwork.com/discord. Have a wonderful night. Have a happy 7 days gaming. Enjoy power washing. Enjoy 4v1 murder sim and Dead by Daylight if that's your thing. Enjoy role playing. Enjoy Minecrafting. Whatever it is you're having fun doing, have fun doing it. And don't get angry unless there is a real reason to get angry. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.